Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
We've been gone for a while, haven't we?
A very long time. Actually, however, I would like to say, I can't guarantee this because the files are held under lock and key. But, although, I'm going to tell you this from now, we recorded a podcast last week with our San Francisco correspondent. It didn't go very well.
Yeah, Marco Cerritos, I'd like to say thank you, Marco, for joining us. I know I'll be calling you up many times throughout this podcast.
Yes, it was a great show. We had lots of fun, but technical difficulties again. Andrew, I don't know what happened, but there was a little bit where we talked about a movie the last movie in our
classic film marathon.
Marathon, exactly. Zazie, Dans la Metro. And that one, that little bit sounds very good, and so I think if, you know, it goes
all right,
past
I'll release it.
Release it as like a, not a podcast, but I don't know, a podlet or a pod small, or we have to find some kind of
a mini cast.
There you go, mini cast. That's what we'll name these things from now on. A mini cast. And that will go up, and so you'll get at least a little bit of what we've been talking about over the past few weeks.
I was happy through that classic film marathon. But anyways, this week we're going to be discussing what we watch this week. Then we're going to go through news, trailers, and we'll review Douglas's choice, Welcome to the Dollhouse, a 1995 film.
You're really laying it on thick there, Andrew. That it's my choice.
After all of this chatter that we have all the while whenever we get to reviews, and people point at me and laugh at me and say it's my fault, and you know what, I hate you for making me watch this movie. I kind of want to make sure that we set it out that Douglas chose this movie. You know, I feel like it's obligated, my duty to say this.
Okay, alright, fine. Anyway, what are we going to talk about first? Let's talk
what
about
what we've been watching.
Okay.
And I'm going to start out, this week I saw a ton of films, but the ones that I want to kind of highlight, right, Film Spotting did their top 5 films about comedy. And I had never seen Annie Hall or The Aristocrats, so I sat down and watched those films. The Aristocrats is a documentary based on a joke called The Aristocrats, which is a joke which allows for the comedian to be as crude and horrible as he wants. It starts out, we're going to show you a family act. They insert as much sex, violence, and mayhem to the next part, and then it ends with, what do you call that act? They're like, we're The Aristocrats. You know, and you had all the comedians come on. You had Drew Carey, George Carlin, Sarah Silverman, who apparently got into a little trouble over her version of the joke.
Really? Why? What trouble did she get into?
Because at the end of her joke, she claims that some famous guy raped her. And the way that they cut it, and the way that she tells her joke, you can kind of take it seriously.
Mm. She's a very crude lady.
Yeah.
But
it's a joke.
Yeah.
No. But you.
No,
I've seen that version. Yeah. You have Robin Williams. You had all sorts of comedians on there.
Don't forget the Godfather of them all.
Who's that?
Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, they had him do this one when he was at a Friar's Roast. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
It was in the movie.
I didn't know you'd seen it.
Yes, I've seen it.
Thank you. So now we understand. Sorry.
What did I say when you talked about this movie? Like 15 minutes ago.
I never heard. I wasn't privy to that.
Yeah, Gilbert Gottfried. I've never actually thought of him as a proper comedian before. Maybe it's because I only know him as that parrot dude in Aladdin.
That guy who does the America's Funniest Home Videos.
Bob Saget.
Yeah. He is one foremost motherfucker.
I didn't know that he was actually funny. I just assumed the reason he did
Full House
and was because, you know, he was just some actor and they put. But he, like, after seeing the Aristocrats is what actually made me go and look for some of these guys, like, if I could find some stand-up for him. He's really funny.
I don't know, like I've seen some of his I saw his HBO special, or most of it. I don't know if I watched all
one?
Of it. Yeah,
yeah, right,
no,
it wasn't
and
that
it wasn't
impressive.
That great.
But no. Some of his, in fact, most of those guys, even like Sandlon, a lot of them, most of their early material, before they became big stars.
Oh yeah, much better.
Oh my goodness,
just
they were
like
so
Dave.
Good.
No, not Dave, sorry.
Just like who?
Nobody. Keep going.
Dane Cook, or you're about to say Dane Cook. We'll skip past that one.
Yes.
If you haven't seen The Aristocrats, it's a really cool movie. Check it out, especially if you like comedy, and just make sure that you don't turn your speakers too loud, because people might hear the ridiculous amount of crude stuff in that movie.
It's not fit for work.
NSFW.
Or for
parents. As I said, I also watched Annie Hall. It's a really good movie. Still not my favorite Woody Allen film. I still think Manhattan's is best that I've seen.
Haven't seen it.
It's really nice. It's a romantic comedy, just like all of his, most of his films. He stars in it, and he really takes center stage. Center stage. He plays a comedian. And he's talking about his relationship with Annie, this girl Annie. And I think Annie really was special. Shit, I don't have it on me. Who is it that plays Annie? Dan Keaton plays Annie. And it's this really odd character, because she starts out with this really just more or less blank slate. Not sure about all of these cultural references.
Sorry, I just realized. Are we talking about Annie Hall?
Yes.
I.e. the Woody Allen movie.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I didn't hear a word you said a while ago. I tuned you out. You know, I kind of just went somewhere else, and then I realized, hang on, we're talking about Annie Hall. That's a good movie. Keep going.
Yes, that's why you shouldn't have your iPhone with you.
No, I wasn't looking at my iPhone. Come on. I'm just strange like that. My brain is slow.
Dan Keaton is really good. Her character is really awesome. Annie is really like blank slate as to what she should do culturally and whatever. Like, she's not sure of what's good or bad or all these things. And then as she's introduced to all these things through Woody Allen's character, and as they progress to the end where they break up, you find about this in like the first 10 minutes. You know, screw you if you think this is a spoiler. And you see that entire relationship. It kind of makes me think of what 500 Days of Summer will be without all the comedy, because that's what most people have described it. It's not a comedy film. It's a romance. You know, it's more showing you the relationship in bits and pieces, which is nice. And I recommend anyone who looks at Woody Allen's films today, like Jade Scorpion or The Mystery of the Jade.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. The one with Helen Hunt. Yeah.
If you didn't like Vicky Cristina, if you think all of these recent Woody Allen films, which most Woody Allen fans hate, go back and check some of his older films. Manhattan and Annie Hall are definitely good.
His older films are fantastic. I remember when I was in college, I kind of got into this Woody Allen phase, because I saw his movies were on TV a lot at that time, and I just couldn't stop watching them because they were so fantastic. I mean, I can't even remember the names. I know there's this one where it's a bunch of short stories all about sex, and Gene Wilder is in one where he is having an affair with a sheep. And then
Is that the one where they have the bit in the body, and he and Woody Allen plays a sperm?
I'm not sure if it's the same movie, but it might be. Right? But yeah, his earlier stuff, especially his comedies, are just hilarious. They are great. Woody Allen is, you know, thumbs up in my book.
Alright, and one last film that I want to mention before I pass it along is Adventureland. This is the film by directed by Greg Mottola.
Else did Mr. Mottola do?
Superbad.
Ah.
So he's a name worth mentioning, right?
Fair enough.
Everybody has this set up as a huge comedy. It isn't. This is a romance film again. High school romance. It stars Ryan Reynolds, Bill Hader, and Kristen
really
Stewart.
Star Ryan Reynolds.
It stars Bella Swan and
what's his name?
Gallant. I know his name, you know. He has a very like
funny name.
Weak guy name. What the hell is his name?
I think it's an E name. What is his name?
He's in Zombieland. Right. Come on, guys.
I'm pulling it up on IMDb now because I really Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. Right. It's him and Kristen Stewart that stars.
Yeah, those are the real stars, but it also has Bill Hader and Ryan Reynolds as minor roles.
Remind me, is Chris Robinson in this film?
No, he isn't.
Okay.
And it's about this child, Jesse Eisenberg, who plays James Brennan, who's finished his undergraduate degree, and he's come back for the summer, and his parents, like, lost all their money in something, and he has to get a summer job.
Enron.
You know? And he gets a summer job at the local theme park, Adventureland, where he, you know, he starts out hating it because he's like, Christ, they play this song all day long. The
Which one? The dun, 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 dun,
no, it's Amadeus.
Yeah. That sounds so cool, though.
Every 20 minutes? Amadeus, not so cool.
Plus, it's a theme park.
You know, so and he works in the games department and stuff. And someone, like, I tweeted I was going to watch this movie, and someone replied to me saying to go into it with a clean slate because the trailer ruined it for him. Because the trailer definitely played up comedy.
Yes, it did. Don't. I could have sworn it was this huge.
And especially with Greg Mottola attached.
Exactly.
You're going to expect a huge
Bill
comedy.
Hader, yeah. And Bill Hader. Well, Ryan Reynolds, he has
he
done
can
his
do
fair
everything.
Of,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So once you see Bill Hader in anything.
And Bill Hader definitely.
He was funny, right?
Bill Hader definitely pumps up the comedy whenever you see him.
So they are. When the funny people come onto the screen.
Oh, so you've seen it too?
Yeah, it is actually funny, but
it's really about the romance between Kirsten Stewart and is it Kirsten?
It's
or Kristen?
Whatever. I think it's
the Twilight Girl,
Bella Swan,
and Jesse Eisenberg. It's really about them coming together and seeing how that summer plays out, and it's a really good film. People need to go out and check it.
Okay, really good film, like Nora and Nick's playlist. Really good film, or really good film like Before Sunset / Sunrise good film?
I'd say in between the two.
In between, okay.
But definitely on the side of Sunset for me. But most people will be on the other end, honestly. I really enjoyed it.
Not so much. No, it's not a bad movie. I'd give it about a 7.
I think I'd push it to an 8.
No, not really.
8?
Yeah.
It is not in between Nick and Nora.
Alright, where is like Nick and Nora? Where is Nick and Nora for you?
4.
No. Actually, I think it's an okay movie. I'd give Nick and Nora like a 7.
Like where's Sunset?
25. We're on a scale of 10. Oh, okay, we're on a scale that stops. It's wherever it stops.
Alright, so if it's based on a 10 scale, Before Sunset is 10. These movies. Adventureland would still be a 7. Nick and Nora. I rewatch it and the music.
Oh, for Nick and Nora,
was,
you mean?
Yeah, for Nick and Nora.
Yeah, it was good music.
It kind of
grew
on me. Because the first time I didn't really pay much attention because I was so tired of seeing that guy in movies. I won't call his name ever again.
I actually want to see Paper Heart.
I'm sure you do, because you're stupid. And the music grew on me, so that helped, but the movie did not. And but this movie is about a 7. It's not great for me. Maybe for Andrew it's great, but
Nick and Nora, it's definitely
Nick and Nora, we've established that's about a 4. But the Adventureland, it's not. So I saw another movie that is kind of like that, Bar Got a Room, and that movie's trash.
I saw that movie. Wait, it's not good?
That movie's trash.
The only thing I have to say, I still haven't watched it. I've gotten lots of emails from PR people about it.
Right.
And they sent me an email with a link to a video to download, a promotional video, where, what's his name?
William H. Macy,
and what's her name? The girl who was in last season of Scrub Zone with Ukulele?
Right.
Kate Macinich?
Right.
They're together singing this song, which is really cool. I can show it to you. I haven't done it from
too. Right.
But that's the only thing that I have for that movie right now.
That movie is no good. But Adventureland is like, I'd recommend it to anybody. I don't like it as much, but I'm sure, like Andrew.
And as I
it's
said,
one of those movies. Where
and as I said, if you've seen the trailer, forget it.
Yeah, it's not a comedy.
Just watch the movie. Try and go into it with an open mind and a clean slate.
Comedic elements, but it's not a comedy.
Okay, fair enough. So Damon,
said
what
Douglas.
About you? Oh, Damon hasn't talked yet.
Yes, but he said Douglas. Douglas.
I was kind of sure.
All right, which one
of you guys want to go first?
Well, no, I can go. That's fine. Right. I mean, the main thing that I've been watching lately is not even actually a movie.
Really?
It's a television show by the name of Chuck. I've really wanted to watch this show for a long time because the, you know, the ads and the hype and the this and the that, it all looks really nice. And I started to watch it, and it's weird because I'm not sure if I like the show, but
it's never a good sign.
I still need to watch it.
How many episodes are you in? Have you?
Didn't you tell me the other day you finished season one?
Is it seasons and you're still? That's never a good sign.
Okay, so I finished the first season in about 2 days.
And you're still not sure if you
I'm
like it?
I'm still not sure if I really like it that much.
Is it half an, is it a half an hour show? Or is it,
no,
so
it's an
hour
long show.
I'm guessing 12 episodes.
Well, the first season had, I think, 14.
Right.
But that, second, that stopped short because of the writer's strike.
Right. Yeah, the second season has like 24. I am now at like the sixth episode.
Alright, so 20 hours in.
Yeah.
Actually, you have to say 45 minutes, so...
Yeah. Well, yeah. 20 hours.
We
understand each other.
You have no way of discerning whether you enjoy the show or not.
You know what, though?
But it gets you from point to point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You follow the story arc and you want to see what's happening.
So the story is interesting enough.
It is, yeah.
To get you along, but you're not sure. That's not a good sign.
You see what it is it has elements that I enjoy,
yeah.
But
the overall is...
Not quite the over... Yeah, the overall, the way they put it together is a little bit weird, and it's very... It's odd. For example, I tweeted about this the other day. There are a lot of scenes in the show that are very much like Space. Do you watch Space?
Yeah.
All right, you know when Space gets really like out there and they have all of these shots where the camera just moves from here and there, and like, you know, for example, like a shot would be like... when Simon Pegg was playing Resident Evil and
right.
it flips from being a video game to a dream to
right.
he wakes up to that kind of thing.
Right.
It's weird like that. And there are pieces of this show. Actually, whenever there is action, this show looks like Space.
Oh, okay.
It looks like action in space. So it looks extremely over-exaggerated. You look at the guys and you're like, they didn't really just punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But it's not done well, really. Like, you just said to yourself, this is supposed to be a... Yeah, it's not really a serious show, but you're supposed to at least believe that these guys are agents and they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
But you just don't at all. Mm-hmm. However, you still watch it and you're just
right.
like, you know...
It's part of the charm of the film.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, as a recommendation to... Would you recommend it to people?
I suppose I would, because clearly people like it.
Yeah.
Clearly,
people like a lot of...
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Have people like Hanuman.
And you remember at the end of the last season of Chuck, people were going crazy on Twitter about Save Chuck, because Fox was threatening to cancel the show.
Oh, were they?
Is it Fox?
It's not Fox, because it's NBC.
NBC was threatening to cancel the show. And it was one of those shows like Dollhouse and Terminator where people were clamoring on Twitter and all the social networking
mm-hmm.
to save the show, and eventually it got saved and picked back up. I think it's less episodes for the next season,
yeah.
But it's definitely picked back.
Oh, okay, that's good.
So it's one of those fan favorites. It has a cult following kind of thing, but
yeah.
It's not... As big as like a Friends, and
clearly not as big as a Friends.
As big as Fox was starting, really. It's not as big as Friends. Are you serious?
No. Stop.
There's
no,
like,
no.
There's
like
Seinfeld
not...
is the only thing bigger than Friends. Is there anything that's even remotely close?
I almost said Cheers. Just with this.
But yeah, okay. So I've been watching Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things that I've been watching. Well, I should preface this probably with the fact that I just recently purchased very many nice like DVDs/Blu-rays. Andrew's smiling at me because he also did the same and got a few.
I've been watching my Turtles movies again.
A few DVDs
again.
That I want to punch him for.
I'm not even going to look.
Okay, so I bought some movies and I've been watching them because that's what I do when I buy my movies.
It clearly. Makes sense.
Who does that?
I use them as
really?
Posters. So
really?
I mean,
and
I have a lot of cops.
Two other movies we've kind of touched on already. Before Sunrise and Before Sunset.
That was shocking. You
right?
like
those
movies?
Those movies are amazing. They're cool. I'll put them aside for now. But one
we,
movie
we,
in particular...
I think we might just have to throw those movies in the box. In the pantheon. In the box. Never
yeah.
Anyway, throwing those two movies aside, which I would never do because I want to watch...
Could we get to
moment.
The point, sir?
I bought another movie that I hadn't seen since I was probably in high school. And
so 2 years ago.
Don't wish.
Such a compliment. Anyway, so I've lost my train of thought. Yes. I bought this movie that I haven't seen since I was in high school.
What's
his
name?
It's even on Blu-ray. I got it, which is fantastic. I got The Fifth Element, directed by Luc Besson.
Good stuff, sir. It's on my list.
Yeah.
It looks
awesome. It's so fantastic. You have Bruce Willis. So first of all, you got Luc Besson.
Multipass. That's all.
Multipass.
And we're done.
Why do people love that line?
Because so awesome.
It's ridiculous. She just puts the thing up and she's like,
Lilo Dallas.
Multipass. And then she just doesn't stop there. She just keeps it. Multipass. And then Bruce has to take it away from her. He's like, yes, they know. It's a multipass.
It's like the only thing she knows.
Multipass.
Okay, so this is, I don't know if it's the first, but it's the first I saw with Mila Jovovich in a movie. And
the thing she's gone through.
Exactly. She is awful in a lot of her movies that she's in.
But they make so much money.
This movie right here, Fifth Element, she was actually really good in it. I mean,
phenomenal.
Yeah. It's clearly not like an Oscar-winning role, but she did what she was supposed to do. And
the reason I know that this movie is awesome is that
Chris
is in this movie and plays an annoying asshole and is phenomenal.
You know who I really love in that movie, though, and Douglas knows this? It's Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Gary Oldman, come on.
No, Gary Oldman is a standard,
but,
right? But
when was this movie made?
Like 97 or 98.
Right. And, I mean, this movie, I remember the first time I saw this movie.
You know what?
I mean, like when he was selling the guys the guns that had the nets and things.
That's
like,
the scene I love.
That's a great scene.
Lord,
it's 97.
Thank you.
Okay, and can I tell you, by the way, one thing about this movie. When I saw this movie first, I said these CGI graphics are amazing. I saw this movie a week ago. It still holds up.
Shot for shot. I have this movie on DVD. It was one of the first. Like, the second I had enough money to buy DVDs, I bought it here locally. So it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
And I saw it. I'm like, I'm getting this movie. Like, I got it and The Matrix. And I freaking love it. Love this movie. And Revision 3 has this new program, HD Nation, that they talk about. Well, basically, HD things.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, they put out The Fifth Element and it's like a perfect version. They got the negatives and shot for shot, they remastered everything. The audio is phenomenal. The video, like, they used almost 50 gigs just to get this down. I'm like, and they're like, this movie, like, if you want to show people why HD should be the standard going forward, put this in on a big TV. I'm like,
I have to say, the movie that I've said that for so far is Sunshine.
I still haven't watched it on HD.
That looks beautiful. Danny Boyle.
Peter Boyle?
Danny Boyle. Anytime you see the sun on the screen, it just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
So we've
anything else, Douglas?
Masturbated in
what else?
In that movie.
What else have I watched? So what? I've talked about Chuck. I've talked about
Fifth Element.
Fifth Element.
What else?
Oh, there's Before and Sunrise.
No, you can't. We have to pop. Moving on.
I'm making it official. Those movies have to be thrown. We can't mention those ever.
The
Dark Knight is in there, and now Before Sunrise and Sunset. Yeah. Those are thrown.
Fair enough. They know what
let's just
take a moment.
Okay.
I know it hurts.
So yeah, Douglas, anything else you want to mention before we move on?
Another movie, not that I've watched recently, but that I bought recently, was yet another Luc Besson film, Taken. Got it on Blu-ray, and I'm very happy for that. And I'm going to watch it very soon and be Mighty happy. Happy. Yeah. Yes. So, Damien, you had some stuff you watched this week.
Right. Alright, let me get the serious things out of the way. I've been watching True Blood. I finally caught up.
Oh, yeah.
Caught
up to where we are now, yeah, or just...
caught up to where in HBO is with the series.
By the way, did you know that Jason Stackhouse is really from Australia?
No. I did not know that.
But that... And I assume that he's... Like, anybody that can be that good a redneck has to be a phenomenal actor. Like, there's no... He can... As in... They couldn't have gotten an actual redneck to be that good on camera.
You know what? Recently, I saw the guy who plays Bill Compton. I can't remember his name right now. I saw him on Conan, I think it was. And he came on, and I didn't know he was British. He came on, and he had his British accent. And the guy was asking him about how he found it difficult to do the accent. And then he just did it in stages. You know, he was like, you know, in Britain, in the South, we have these people who talk a bit like this. And then no, it's not that hard to change into Bill Compton. I'm a fan. And I just thought that was amazing. I always find it funny when you see people from foreign countries and stuff doing accents.
I just like the... what's his name? Stackhouse. Jason Stackhouse. I assume that he was a really good, like, the acting was really good, because he's really convincing.
He's an idiot.
You know, I really like Lafayette in that movie.
No, Lafayette, like, when I started watching it, the first couple of episodes I really was into it, but my sister
it took a while.
Hammer. She's like,
it took
this
a while.
Series is awesome. This series is awesome.
It definitely was like, mediocre
fine.
Up until like halfway through.
But
the first
Lafayette
season.
Is genius. Like this, like the character is just it. He's so overboard that there's no way to not look like him.
I know, it's ridiculous. But you know what? The thing I think that the weakest character in this show is the main character, Suki.
Yeah. I didn't like. Part of the reason that I knew that Stackhouse was a great actor is because I didn't buy her accent. Didn't buy that. Like, there's something about... Like, it grew on me over time, so it's not so much of a problem. But, like, there's times when she says and does some things that I don't buy. Another thing is that... her girlfriend...
Tara.
She's a bit too depressing. Her life is kind of sad. They need to kill her or something.
But she found happiness.
I'm tired of her. She's too one note. It's always just she being a bitch and there's nothing else. We don't really get to see another side of her. Kind of likes her mother and her mother is the devil. Oh, I'm sorry. Because they actually have the devil inside. Which is, let me tell you right or something right now. After you kill the devil in the second season, I want to see how you're going to come up with a better villain than that. Because once the devil is dead, I've read in Preacher, Saint of Killers is next. And after that, all you're left with is aliens. And let's be clear, if aliens come into the series, I'm done. I don't care what you try, that's it.
You know what I like about this show though? It starts off with a core... And then it branches out. For example, they started off with everybody. Like, not everybody, but the only really weird thing about the world is that they're vampires. Then it showed you Suki a little bit, and you're like, well, alright, she's the main character, mm-hmm. She can be weird. But then all of a sudden, once they've worked out how to use what they have, how to, like, put everybody in play, they say, okay, let's put something new in. Like, for example, they got Merlot, who is a shapeshifter. No, they've got all sorts of things.
But my problem is that every time they introduce something new, they have to spend time on that, which takes time away from the vampire aspect.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it because it's True Blood. if the L word didn't have lesbians or spent 2 seconds on lesbians and everything else, I'd never watch it because they're missing the point. I feel they need to get back to... Because the vampire thing is still interesting and they haven't fleshed out everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're trying to drag it out by introducing these new things, but I feel, especially with the last episode, nothing is really happening. I know they're setting, they're using that episode to set up the rest of the season because they need a big finale. and then something to lead you into season three.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to dilute the show with other, you know, supernatural beings and get away from the vampire thing. Because the vampire thing I find really interesting. This chick being the devil, not so much.
Question. What is your favorite character / storyline going on right now in True Blood?
Right now it's...
Because you said you're caught up, right?
Today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now it's... what's the sheriff for their town? Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Eric has given up his self to release his makeup.
Godric,
right. That's what I'm interested in. I want to know how Godric, supposedly a 2,000-year-old vampire, that should be strong and as fast as anything else in the world, would have gotten himself caught. And what is going to happen as a result. That is what I'm interested in. This devil chick turning other people in, the orgies thing, and she getting people to stab other people. I could do without.
Well, I guess since we're going into full-on spoiler mode.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, Eric, though.
Still spoilers for TV shows. Yeah. I mean, I'd be pissed if someone spoiled, like, this show for me.
Yeah, or if... Let's pretend you are watching The Sopranos, mm-hmm. right? And you are up to, say, season 4 or something like that. And then somebody says, oh, by the way, you saw Tony killed Chris?
All I said is that Eric got caught.
He's been very vague. Right. He's been very vague. Right. So which is why I haven't slapped him yet.
Right, but anyway, I'm going to throw a spoiler. All right,
so spoilers for True Blood. Right. If you're not caught up, you know, turn off for a few minutes.
The thing about Eric, mm-hmm. right? No, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but they've done some heavy ass implying here. Is that it looks like Eric has something to do with Godric being kidnapped in the first place. Wait, no. Eric also clearly threw Suki and them to the dogs with the church. That's how they knew.
No, they explained it in the last episode. Have you seen the last episode?
Yes, I did see the last episode.
No, Eric didn't have anything.
The guy who's in love with the other girl.
Why then would Eric bring his maker, Bill Compton's maker, so that Compton could not go and help?
Because he wants Suki.
No. He's using the situation to his advantage to get Suki. It's not. He didn't create the situation that Suki is in.
Here's the deal, right? Mm-hmm. Unless he knew that Suki would get into trouble, there's no reason for him to bring the Mako.
No, but you see, the point is that even if Suki were to come back, the Mako would have dealt with Bill Compton already. Or been able to... So it's... The Suki situation is completely separate to what Eric is doing.
I don't think so. I think they're all related. I'm not sure to the extent to which the Godric part is related, because, I mean, I can see that, and he did shed a tear when he was talking about Godric. So, yeah, it's not... If it's fake, it's not 100% fake, his loyalty to Godric. But I think there's something there.
All right. We'll find out in subsequent episodes.
My actual favorite storyline I want to look at, but I know it's getting no airtime, and I don't know how they're even going to try and go into this, is Jessica.
Yeah, the daughter. I thought that was going to be one of the highlights of this season.
Jessica?
Right.
The new vampire.
Right, the girl.
Oh, yeah, I like
because
her.
They could have used
and
her.
How, and how it is coming into the picture now.
They could have used her to explain how a lot of the vampire shit works, because she's new. Mm-hmm. And they could have showed us him teaching her a lot of the vampire rules and whatnot.
Yeah, but so that's kind of cheap, to get, though.
Yeah, but...
it's the same thing I did in The Wire with the children in season 4 and 5.
It's a TV show to show you what vampires are now, how they got to that point. I thought they were into that, but then they introduced devils and shit. So. Right, we should move on from...
Yeah,
from
what this. Else have you been watching?
I've been watching Leverage, which is from TNT. It's really good.
Really?
It's about thieves, and they're basically Robin Hood. They steal from the rich and give to... the poor. It's good. There's nothing like saying anything would give away some of the things that they do, but the situations that they get themselves in and how they it's like how Oceans deals with things, right? So they steal from rich people in a very
an elaborate way. It's like a heist type of thing. That's exactly what I was about to
ask you. And some of it is really, like, some of the episodes, you never thought of
and
that.
Is it all, like, confidence schemes, or are there some, like, just straight-up robberies?
Like, Russians.
So there's
what is it?
Right, so there's straight-up robberies.
like in Heat?
No. They don't go in guns blazing. It's always how Oceans would have done it. They try and circumvent. Also, right, and trick people into exposing themselves and getting them into trouble, and thereby getting money and leverage, basically, on the rich people. It's really, really good. There's really nothing bad to say about it. If, like, the second you watch the first episode, if you don't like the first episode, just don't even bother. Because if you don't like that, there's something wrong with you. But clearly, it's not your cup of tea, and the rest of the episodes won't convince you.
Is it just robbery after robbery, or is there underlying?
It's not robbery after. They find what they do is, they find there's a main boss guy, and he finds people to help, and it's usually people who have been wronged by some big corporation.
So it's like Oceans for
right.
Burn
so it's
notice.
Robin Hood.
It's like Oceans
right.
for Burn.
Right.
Okay.
So it's like Robin Hood meets Oceans, and it's really good. Burn Notice, as you said, I've been watching that too, but everybody knows that's awesome.
That
I
watched season one a couple of weeks ago, and I said the same thing I said before. Like, I had watched it when it just started, and I had said it was shit. After the halfway through the first season, it finally got good because I forced myself through it, and it became awesome by the end of first season. I'm still haven't started the second season.
So it's awesome. Yeah. No need to talk. The last series I'll talk about, though, is another TNT series, Dark Blue. She's phenomenal.
That's the police one, right?
Yeah, where undercover. I don't care where you need to go to get these episodes. I don't
Hulu people need to
watch these episodes. I mean, as I said it last week on the podcast that we never hear, but these guys put more drama into a 1 hour episode of a TV show than I've seen in a lot of movies. I mean, it is just so good. All the acting is great. All the situations are great. The writing is spot on. These three episodes in, fantastic. Nobody can watch this and not like this series. It's impossible. Now to movies. I've watched The Young Victoria. I was talking to you about that earlier. This movie is very cliched. However, cliches become cliches for a reason. And this movie is so well executed and so well directed that even though nothing will really surprise you, the movie is still a good, I mean, it's borderline great. There's no flaw in the movie. If you don't like Emily Blunt, that will be your flaw. But if you can see your way past that, I have no negative thing to say about this movie. It's so well executed that there's just nothing that they've gone down the road that has been tried and tested hundreds of times, and they hit every point, but they did it so well that there's Last Chance Harvey, another movie that we watched, went down this road too, but it's terrible movie. This is not that movie. it's going down a same formulaic route, but it's really, really good. Another movie I've watched is Zooey Deschanel
Gigantic.
It's another Zooey Deschanel movie.
Which means it's awesome.
Right.
So
for the other two
people
in the room,
you recommend
they love
it.
Yes. You guys will love it.
So we're watching it after the podcast,
right.
Douglas. Right after.
No doubt. Absolutely love it. I have seen other Zooey Deschanel movies, and this is another so additional movie, right? Take from that what you will.
By the way, speaking of Zooey Deschanel, sorry to cut you short, but Andrew, you watched a Zooey Deschanel movie the other day. Winter's Passing is the name of it.
Yeah, Winter's
How
Passing.
How was
It was really good. It definitely isn't the regular Zooey Deschanel. It's more All the Real Girls than any other Zooey Deschanel that she's popular for. It's more of a drama kind of thing. She plays a
quirky girl love interest.
She's not quirky in this film at all, and she's not a love interest.
Wow.
She plays the daughter of this famous writer that people are hounding for books, but he's like, you know, gone into his shell in his house. He doesn't want to talk to people. His wife has died, you know, and he has his former student and his friend, who's played by Will Ferrell and some girl whose name I don't know. And, I mean, there are a couple of funny points, you know, like when people come to the door and Will Ferrell tries to tackle them kind of stuff so that they won't bother him because he's a famous writer or anything. And all that, it's really good. I got to recommend from Movie Geeks. They did a review for it. They have their little thing, like, if you missed it series of reviews.
Yeah.
They reviewed it, and I kind of wanted to watch it. It's a good movie. It's not great, but it's serviceable.
This is another Zooey Deschanel movie.
Have you seen All the Real Girls yet?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
Yeah, he didn't
another
like
Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, remember? We've talked about this before.
I can't remember.
We went down this road. You guys weren't pleased.
yeah.
The last movie that I'll talk about is, this film is not yet rated. It's a documentary about the MPAA and their horseshit. And
those bastards.
The documentary is, it's really fantastic.
It's really informative.
When you, right, when you hear some of the shit that these people have dreamt up, I mean, censorship for censorship's sake is just nonsense. There's really no way to circumvent it.
Yeah.
This kind of censorship only exists because the big companies who make all the movies and distribute all of them, it works for them, and so there's no real reason for them to, you know, find another way. And the MPA only exists because of pressure groups. There's usually church people who bitch and moan about things that they don't watch, because that's usual. They complain about movies and things that are in movies that they haven't seen, but they claim that they don't want the children to see it because it will lead to moral decay and all sorts of badness.
Society.
Which is funny because it's usually about sex. So while you can kill all the shit you want in most of these movies, if there's any sex, there's some big hubbub. And real parents know that if you want your children to watch a movie, stands to reason that you go out and get information about it. And if you feel a child can handle it, then you let them watch.
Yeah, back to the argument that we've had a lot of times. It's all about parenting.
But because they have to pass the buck onto something and they don't want to do real parenting, we have these ratings.
No,
and
what,
the MPA is...
Rating systems are necessary for that same reason, or a similar reason to what you're saying. But I agree with you as well that the rating system that exists is very...
I think it's nonsensical. I think it's more important in the rating systems, instead of looking at the PG-13, the R bit, to look underneath it at what it says is actually in the film.
Yeah.
Which people don't do often. Like, just to let you know, I bought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I looked at it and saw something underneath the PG, and I was like, what the fuck is there? They're like, it's swashbuckling action. And I'm like, if they're willing to put that under there, you can imagine what's under there for a movie like Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, no, they have all of that description, but you know what? You know what? No, that's the thing, though. You need these symbols to be simple. So that makes sense, right? You need G, and you know what G stands for. It means your son, who is 1 year old, can watch this, and there's no problem. Same thing with PG. You're like, yeah, man, he's five. He's okay with it. You know that kind of thing? You need those... quick symbols, the quick help thing. It's like icons on your desktop. You need to be able to just see these things quickly. However, I agree with Damian. The system now is kind of nonsensical, whereby they have these very warped and these rules that work okay for one thing. One vice is less bad than another, you know?
But the thing is, with books, is there a PG rating for books?
No, there isn't.
Right.
Which is, no, that's true.
No,
and then for music, there's only there's really one.
There's one thing. TVMA. Once you, explicit, I mean, not TV, yeah, explicit,
if you,
yeah,
if you say fuck,
you're done.
For adults,
right?
Which is fair, because they draw the line at profanity.
Yeah.
Right.
This is, no, there is
which
much
is
else
which is
audio.
Really stupid, because there's things that you can sing about without profanity that no we, child should hear.
We found out about this through
if
dance.
If I edit a Vibes Cartel song, no child should still hear that song.
Yeah.
Unless I'm going to play a blank recording. So it didn't work for the music industry, and everyone laughs when they see the explicit tag. Because it doesn't mean anything.
The thing about it is that people think it does work. Because people like Walmart
right
sell to underage children.
Right.
But they go
over. You know what I found hilarious? When I was away that year, I was at Lawrence, I would go into the shop. I can't remember which shop it was that I'd gone by DVDs and shit. And that's where I got Pulp Fiction. I picked up Pulp Fiction. I was like, fuck yes! You know, I went to cashier, and I gave it to him, and I was like, how much? He was like, are you over 18? I was 18 at the point, but I didn't have any ID on me. I didn't have a driver's license yet. I don't walk around with a passport.
Like, yes, I'm 18.
The only thing I had on me was my college ID, which doesn't have a date
right
on it. So, you know, I was like, hey, man, come on. I go to the university over there, say I have my ID, I'm 18, just sell me the fucking thing. But he was, like, so adamant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of like that Fargo character, which the guy from
the
parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big man in his little world, you know.
Well,
and I mean,
eventually get fired.
I know. Eventually I got him to sell it to me, but I mean, the amount of work it took.
Right. But ratings on a whole, when you try to use one thing to, you know, categorize one a broad thing, it doesn't work. Due diligence works. If you're a parent and you really care about what the children are watching, it makes sense for you to do a little bit of research. Can't be that hard to find out what the movies are. You go on the internet, bap, 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 5 minutes later, you know exactly what the movie is about and whether you want your child to watch it or not. But the R rating, which is what, you know, they're talking about NC-17, which means basically a movie can't come out. No big company will distribute it. You'll get limited advertising, limited release, or sometimes no release at all. And so it won't get to a wide audience. A lot of people won't see it. And so an R rating, I always thought that R meant 18 and over, but that is not the case. Children can come into an R movie
with an adult,
with parents, which makes no sense. Why have that rate if it is R restricted, right? And a child cannot go in.
That rating is for I kind of agree with that policy that the states have, that for R, you already know what's going on.
Right.
If you are foolish enough, or if
you're cool
son,
enough,
right, if cool or foolish enough, or if you think your son or daughter is, you know, mature enough to understand or to not,
or
like,
if you're
whatever,
dumb.
Exactly.
Like,
then,
people carrying
then
families
can
to watch. Them.
Hold on,
watch
hold on. Like, Douglas, you and I, we grew up in a house where ratings was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we couldn't watch R-rated films for a long while until we got to a certain age. How was it in your house? Like, were your parents strict about
nobody
ratings?
Cared.
Nobody cared?
Nobody cared. As long as it's not porn, no, whatever. Like, at 11 o'clock, HBO, you know, and Cinemax, it's bedtime. But anything between those hours, as long as it was on TV. I saw Boys Don't Cry when I was like 13, I had just started Campion. And a movie was disturbing as shit.
I don't know what that movie is.
Oh, you don't know what that movie is?
Never seen
wow
that movie. What is that?
It's a forest within the movie. Watch it tonight. Trust me, you love it.
Yeah. Oh, will I cry?
Yes,
yeah,
you will.
Oh, yes, sir. You think Requiem has issues. What? You thank us for this later.
Anyways.
So, the movie is about the rating systems, and they're really, really messed up. As in, no one knows their names. There's nobody to really appeal to. And it's really a way to keep the big because all media is run by like six big companies, and And I mean, you guys just need to see this.
If you're at all interested in
the ratings board and why a lot of directors bitch and moan about it, you'll understand at the end of this movie.
Yeah. But I really like the informational content about the movie. For example, I mean, it went into a full-on history of where the ratings came from and where they are right now. It showed you there was a time when there was no R rating, there was no NC-17 rating, there was no XXX rating. It was just X.
Yeah.
And so...
So if the movie didn't get a rating, it was cool, but it could get an X?
No. There was PG, there was PG-13, there was X. So if hold on,
PG-13 came around because of Indiana Jones, if I remember. That's a story, right?
That's a story.
Oh, is that not true?
I think it's not true.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's
well,
not
it came
true.
Around that time then. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
So there was whatever.
There was
G,
no
PG,
R at that point?
There was no R at that point. It was just X. And how it worked was if, you know, your movie was not PG-13 material, it was X. If your movie was what NC-17 material is now, it would be X. If your movie was porn, it would be X. So, you know, it was very difficult.
Right.
You know, when you as Spike Lee or Quentin Tarantino do a movie where you've got more than two fucks, you're in the same category of film as Debbie Does Dallas. Right?
And there are people who count fucks.
Yeah.
With iPhone, hilarious.
Well, it's their job, so they have to. But
what a job.
I know.
They're like, shit, there were like five or six in there. I have to rewind. Anyways, moving on.
But no, it was great, and it talked about how Spike Lee and our guy Steven Spielberg and all of the major movie industry guys got together, did up this what's the name of the word where you sign your
petition.
Thank you. They did this petition, and then they got the ratings changed to what it is today. And they talked about how, you know, the ratings really started out with this one guy that was ahead of, was it Viacom?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Right. Just watch the documentary.
It's really interesting.
You won't be bored.
I have to check that out then.
All sorts of people. Kevin Smith is in it, so you love it.
Yeah.
I love Kevin Smith.
Zoe Deschanel isn't in it.
Yeah,
crap. I'm not watching this movie. Is Quentin Tarantino in it?
Nope.
He's crap.
In name.
Is there any other movies you want to give a mention before I move on?
No. You know, who's in it? That weird guy. That did that movie with the really fat lady. And
I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his name.
Me either.
Alright, moving on into news this week. A couple of things happened this week. We spoke about this previously in an episode which is under lock and key, so I'm going to bring it up again because it's now finally confirmed. Ridley Scott is going to be directing the Alien prequel.
Let's move on.
No comment.
No comment at
right.
all. Alien was good. Aliens was good. Alien 3 and 4, not so much. Right. So maybe that's a sign.
So in the Star Wars...
But Ridley only did Alien.
I know, he only
did
Alien.
In the Star Wars vein, don't care where my cool shit comes from. Who said that? Trying to remember the comedian that said that. But his point was that no one gives a shit where cool shit comes from. We right, just like cool shit.
Exactly.
So now explaining where the aliens came from, nobody gives a shit.
So I think what you're saying is what I feel like.
Yeah.
If it's gonna be good, awesome. If not, okay.
But here's a question. What do you think about prequels in general? Because my problem with prequels is that...
You know the end game.
Yeah, you know how it's going to end.
So no matter what messed up situation you have at the end of the movie, you know... At the end of the day, shit going to
kind of like with Star Wars. I mean, as much as those movies sucked,
in
the third one, you could see them forcing all the tie-ins. They're like, shit, we forgot that one.
He becomes Darth Vader. Shocking. So prequels suck. Moving on.
Whoa. Machete casting rumors. We spoke about a few last week.
No. They're not rumors anymore.
They're all confirmed.
Jonah Hill.
Except for Jonah Hill. But also thrown in the batch is Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Is going to be in Machete. Do you think she's going to be the daughter?
Well, she could look like the mother, you know. She's sick.
Wow.
Wait, so all those drugs.
You know who else is going to be in there too? JT.
JT? Justin Timberlake?
No, sorry. JT from Grindhouse.
Oh,
Yeah. I love how the first person you think of when I say JT Justin is Timberlake.
Who else is JT?
I don't know.
But you I didn't go to Justin Timberlake as JT.
I didn't go to Justin Timberlake.
I was trying to think really hard and it quickly came Justin Timberlake. That's why I said that.
It's like J-Lo. I don't say J-Lo. It sounds retarded.
We need to have an intervention.
Is that episode in season 3?
Nobody cares. So Machete.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah,
so Machete.
So, I mean, we spoke about this, but, you know, just to let everyone know, there's Robert De Niro, there's...
What the hell, right?
Oh, Lord.
There's...
Is Al Pacino in it?
No, there's Jessica Alba, Steven Seagal, Lindsay Lohan,
Oh, so Cheech no one Marie, with talent.
Don Johnson, Jeff Fahey, Don and Robert Johnson. De Niro, and Michelle Rodriguez, all confirmed
Crockett
for this film.
Crockett is going to be in this film.
Fair enough.
Okay?
Steven Seagal is I always
think of him as a detective thing we used to
Nash
watch.
Bridges.
Nash Bridges. Yes,
do you understand how much suck is going to be? Steven Seagal and Lindsay Lohan in the same movie? This might end up Uwe Boll-esque.
You don't think he can push it to the edge of like what
Listen
you expect
me.
From
Listen
the movie?
To me. Steven Seagal cannot come in a good
so,
movie.
So what do you think about The Expendables?
Again. I don't think this is listening to me. Listen to me. By law, Steven Seagal is not allowed to come in good movies.
Alright,
no.
So, alright,
you can't just think of one.
Just
don't
a
even try.
Alright, just a stupid question because I know what you're going mm-hmm. to say anyways. Mm-hmm. Do you think he can pull a Jean Claude like JCVD?
Is this you not?
Did you like JCVD?
Yes, Jean Claude actually had some talent.
What
he could fight?
What?
if nothing else, Jean Claude could fight.
Okay,
and then he proved. JCVD that he actually has some acting ability. Seagal cannot act. He also cannot fight. He's devoid of talent. He came to Jamaica and did a song with Beanie Man. Did you hear that song?
Yes.
No. Because they banned it for radio won't even play. This man is not anything he touches automatically becomes bad. Now they can try. I know they're going to try to make this into a good movie. But at the end of the day, they'll have to put Steven Seagal in there somewhere. And if it's not a cameo of him being chopped to death with a machete, this movie's going to be bad. You know it. You know it. I know it.
Okay, another news item which came out this week is Steven Spielberg. His next project is going to be Harvey. Alright.
Is that related to Lord of the Rings?
No.
Nobody.
No related. It's play written in 1944. It was made as a film starring shit. What's his name?
It was made as a film
in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a love film, right? It's about this guy who sees an imaginary bunny.
You lost me.
Yeah. I don't like racist.
Is this Darko Part 3?
Well, right. Maybe.
So he sees that. Wait, let's go through this. Let's go through this. He sees an imaginary bunny. So there's CG work. Fair enough. What else?
Right? It's James Stewart who was in the 1950s.
Isn't Tim Burton doing this movie?
Listen to me. Can we get through this? Please.
Alright, my point is that this is... I haven't seen it. I don't think you guys have either, right? But it's a film which is loved by all. I actually have a copy and I'm going to watch it because of this news. I decided to run out and get a copy. And as soon as I posted this, Dave from Screen Geeks, our friend, wrote up this...
idea.
This article... ranting on about Spielberg. We've talked to him about Spielberg and we know his feelings, but he's gotten to the point where he said he'll throw out his Schindler's List special edition and kill anything Spielberg if he actually makes his project. He loses any and all respect for this man because he's about to do Harvey.
Dave.
He's the one that loves Spielberg. He must have some reason to... He didn't just come to this conclusion.
Okay, so why?
And
what was the reason?
And just to quote...
There's a man with an imaginary bunny. What? Is this an Easter comedy? I don't understand. How they made up Easter? If this is not funny. I don't know.
No, it's not a comedy.
Stress. I don't know who this is going to work. But he's Spielberg. I have to give him a long rope.
And just to quote Dave's article, he says, finally, Spielberg will lose all credibility as a person who respects film history if he goes through with this.
Oh.
This is a man who worked with Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas to help secure funding for Akira Kurosawa's Ran and Kagemusha. It's clear that Mr. Spielberg was influenced, like many filmmakers of his generation, by films from Kurosawa like The Hidden Fortress and The Seven Samurai. I've always thought it was great to see these young filmmakers pay homage to a true legend. It made me think that the man has a respect for film history. We're talking about a film that was named as one of the 10 best fantasy films of all time by the AFI. We're not talking about a remaking Flight of the Navigator here. We're talking about desecrating a true American classic. Not to mention one of my favorite films of all time.
He's not joking. He's not playing around. Well, Dave, sorry to tell you, but it's going to make this movie.
And as I told you, Dave,
look. Seriously, we've spoken about remakes a lot and how shitty they tend to be. Just don't watch it.
Yeah, that's what people always say.
I know it's your job. I know that it's your job to watch these movies, but I'm sure you've had enough cred by now to just say no. Like drugs, don't do it. Right? I know years from now, when there's some shitty director remaking The Dark Knight, I'll be jumping up and down and trying and buying, plane tickets to go and start. Buying a new teleportation device or whatever we use to travel to go and stab this fool. But at the end of the day, I don't have to watch it.
Alright,
and I haven't seen... But the thing that this is doing is that because he's so passionate about this remake, if it weren't for this remake, I wouldn't have heard about the film. So I'm going to try and find this movie and watch it. If it's as good as you say, then I'll stay away from this remake. Or not, if it's like if I think it's really good, I want to see Spielberg spin on it, and then if it's bad, I'll bitch. But
move on with life, and you watch the original again.
As in, being annoyed that even one of your favorite filmmakers is remaking something that you love. Hollywood is going to continue doing this. It makes them too much money. They're going to. I recently got Infamous for the PS3. That game is awesome. And Sony's trying to green light a movie out of it. I don't want to see that.
Oh yeah, I read about that. What is that game on?
PS3.
No, I didn't mean that.
Right. So it's this dude who was carrying a package and it blew up and destroyed the city. But it gave him electrical powers. And then that is basically all his weapons. He learns to control electricity to the point where, he has electricity bombs. The gameplay is just, it's like Grand Theft Auto with electricity. And dude can fly.
So you can have sex with a hooker and then beat the money back.
If all of them were dead. If all of them were dead, you probably could. But what you can do is, you can beat somebody to near death, then resuscitate them, and then beat them to the death. And resuscitate them, and then blow them up in the air, and keep juggling them using lightning. And then when they fall, you resuscitate them, and you rinse and repeat.
Awesome.
It's really fun.
Okay, so I have a news item that I'd like to insert in here.
All right, sure. Go ahead.
I'm sure you don't have it on your list.
I'll look. Tell me.
All right. So, Jim Henson's company.
Yes,
it's come out with some news. First. Months or years ago, whatever, they came out with the news that one of my favorite funny men now, Jason Segel, is, signed on to do a new Muppets movie. But this is even better than
that.
The
new one Muppets film.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We saw what he can do in...
With a vampire.
No. Forget vampires. He sang the Muppet theme in that movie, okay? So we know that he can do the Muppet theme.
That's all I love.
Did he
man.
Sing the Muppet
theme? Yeah, he did. And he played it on the piano when he was, like, drunk and crying about...
I skipped that one.
Have you guys seen I Love You, Man?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
I enjoyed that movie.
It was... I think it's good, but it was kind of awkward and...
It's not that funny, though.
Yeah.
It was...
my excuse for that film was Paul Rudd's character was the equivalent of the going full retard argument. He went fully into this guy who doesn't know how to make a friend kind of person, and it got a little too silly at points for me. But it definitely looks like a movie that I would love when I watch it again, and I get all the extra jokes in there that I didn't get. But whatever.
Yeah, I'm hoping that happens to me too. But anyway,
yeah.
Back to the point.
There are two movies that Jim Henson, not the dead man, the company, has announced.
Thank you for that.
Is it a Turtles film?
No, it's not. But we know that's coming out, so yeah, we don't need to worry about
it. Live action, right? Turtles, you guys are so stupid.
Well, the first is a movie that I actually haven't seen the original of, The Dark Crystal. So I'm not very, you know, woo about that. But the second is a show that I used to love and watch all the time.
When you were three?
When I was three or whatever the hell I was.
1942.
Yeah, about then. It's a show called Fraggle Rock.
I thought about that. So at the beginning of the show, you compliment him on how young he is, and in the middle, you tell him how old he is?
Yes.
Andrew, I'm like light. I'm at two places at once. I'm old, I am young, I am everything.
What I was trying to point out is that he's retarded and stayed in high school for 50 years. No, you got
that. But no,
yeah, all right. Thanks for ruining the joke.
I'm extremely excited over this, and there's a quote. This is actually from Billington's site, from First Showing. There's a quote that says that Fraggle Rock is still in very active development. It has a very strong script. It will have strong musical component, and it'll be expanded to an older audience, which it better well and be, because nobody knows about this thing except for people my age. And maybe, do you even remember it?
I know what it is, but I don't remember exactly like any of the story.
Yeah, exactly. This thing was aired from 83 to 87. So
that was me at 2.
Exactly.
I was born in 86.
Right? I'm sure when I saw it was reruns, which is why I remember it. But I used to love this show. This show was, you know, great. I'm sure if I watch it now, I actually have watched it not recently, but within like so the past 10 to 5 years. And it's odd. It's funny how odd children shows were back in those days. And I really like it.
Did you
find
all the drug references?
I'm very excited over this news.
I always find it fun to look at old children's shows and shit and see all the drug references and all the adult stuff in them.
What do you think the Cookie Monster really means? He can't finish with the cookies.
Cookie. Those are special cookies.
He can never stop. You notice? He never just has one and leaves it alone.
And then he ends up eating someone's hand
accidentally.
I don't know.
Who does that when they eat?
I think it's time we get back to the
I have to say I have no comment because, as I said, I really don't remember anything about Fraggle Rock or the Dark Crystal. But
yeah,
I never watched that movie.
On the other hand, people love it though. Dark Crystal is a big cult classic.
Jim Henson, the Jim Henson Company, and all of their work. Like, if you look at it, look at the Muppets, it's all amazing stuff. I mean, I just got the Turtles films, which they did, the live action Turtles films, and that's amazing. Those live action Turtles, Damon is giving me the shake. He's giving me that look of, oh, all right, you have to give me the leeway on Turtles. That's my childhood there.
Fair enough.
That's my childhood. Like,
if you don't like Turtles, you get smacked in the face.
Fair enough. I won't tell you that the movie is nonsense. There's a man in a mask with a fucking cricket bat.
But come on, it's Corey Feldman. He was one of those guys.
Nobody understands cricket. Actually, I do, but whatever.
That's a line.
No, we're going on to the next story.
You have anything to say about Jim Henson and these movies?
Nope.
Alright, moving on. Apparently, Jeremy Renner is in the runs to be the next Mad Max.
Yeah, you know who else is in the runnings? Natalie Portman.
Oh, not to be Mad Max, to be in the film. Yes, I'm sorry, I'm stupid. No, I mean, he's been in this new film, The Hurt Locker, which I haven't seen. But he was also in 28 Weeks Later.
You know what else he was in?
What?
Terminator.
Yep.
The new one?
he was the Terminator.
No, that was Sam Worthington.
Oh yeah, right. I'm thinking of something completely different. Sorry,
you're a crazy person. Moving on.
He's that's the guy from the Titan show movie. Apologies.
So you've seen the Hurt Locker.
Yes, I have.
What do you think he would do as? How do you think he'd do as Mad Max?
First Mad Max or the subsequent?
I'm going to go with first Mad Max.
All right. It probably work out well. He's a really intense guy in the Hurt Locker. He plays this slightly disturbed, bomb squad agent, and he throughout that whole movie, even though you knew that he was one of the good guys, there was always this off feeling about him because he was so intense. And that's basically what the Mad Max character is. He's supposedly the good person, but he's so... He's mad, I guess. there's always this feeling.
Yeah.
There's always this feeling that, this guy is going to... It won't be pleasant when you run into this guy. So, I think he'd make a good one. I just hope that the Mad Max movie itself is good, because... In the latter parts, they kind of run.
Give it to Sam Raimi, and he'll run.
Question:
Raimi.
Have you seen? Have
in
you
terms
seen
of the, bad sequels,
which one are you talking about? The Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Have you seen that film about the exploitation? This is not quite Hollywood. The documentary.
No. I haven't.
Oh, okay. Because
have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Where did you see it? How did you see it? Was it on Stars?
No.
Okay, because I'm so, like, I remember somebody wrote about it. I think it may have been on GordonandtheWhale.com. And I wrote a comment and I was like, wasn't that on Stars? Because I'm pretty
I think they've played ads for
I
it, on,
it
Stars.
On Stars.
But I don't know if they've run the film on
they
Stars.
They kind of laughed at me.
So that's what
you have basic cable.
I have more than basic cable.
We get G4.
Right, we're moving on.
You remember when that used to actually have shows?
Yeah, it was called ZDTV.
Yeah, way back in the day, yeah.
There was the screensaver.
Then it became Tech TV.
And then it was bought by G4 and G4.
I always get into this argument with that girl at Mobile Music because she loves Attack of the Show, and I always talk about screensavers.
It used to be so good. Attack of the Show. Even up
until
to,
Sarah Lane left.
Exactly. Up to, how long ago was that? Maybe 3 years?
Yeah.
Like, it was still
But
decent.
If you guys miss
No, I listen
ZDTV,
to her. I listen to all the people
then
on
you
Twitch.
Can go to Revision 3.
And Revision
and 3. All of them were there.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how
and
G4
the
and all
really
of these companies which took over stage by stage kind of said fuck you to all these people, you know. Even Leo Laporte. Like, now I get to listen to him and see him on Twit. Sarah Lena here on Twiff, which is on the Twit network. Revision 3 has
Patrick Norton,
is
Kevin
Rose.
Actually,
worth
actually,
and he can just go to the website and watch all the videos.
I watched an episode of X-Play the other day, curious, because I haven't turned on G4 in like over a year now, right? And I still don't like it anymore.
They've changed the format too much.
Is it still just the guy?
It's still those same people, Morgan Webb and
Morgan Webb is her name. Yeah.
And
Adam
Sessler. I mean, there's good episodes and there's bad episodes, depending on what they're reviewing and what they have to review and B, what they're talking about. This is summertime and there's not really much coming out.
I always wondered how they have. I don't know how they do it, but what I've always wondered, because if they're like they do 5 shows a week.
Right.
And they review like 1 or 2 games a week, a show kind of thing. How do they find time to play through each of those games enough
interns.
To review?
Yeah,
interns. They're just reading the reviews back from.
They're pretty people to put in front of a camera.
I know.
I'm sure
they get some of the games themselves to review, but a lot of it they have a lot of people working there.
I used to sit there and wonder that, like, how much, because it takes so much time to go through a game.
Plus, if your job is to play games all day, they record the show. I'm sure it doesn't take them an hour and a half, which leaves them a lot of time.
No, but to do five shows in a week.
Right.
Every week.
Right, but a lot of these games are no longer than 10 hours.
And maybe it's just because I suck at games and I take 30 hours to do a 10-hour game.
Where's that licensing thing going in Gran Turismo?
Oh. Stop playing that game a long time.
That's that man.
Anyways, which Gran Turismo is it?
Four.
Four.
He doesn't have the license.
Which Gran Turismo is out now?
Well, five Prologue is out.
Five don't come out yet?
Right,
I thought they came out already.
Listen to me.
Oh, sorry. I was going to make fun of you about that. All right. Oh, well, I can't.
So, I have to pause for a second here and get
take
into
your
my
game,
video gaming.
Your gamer mode.
Kazunori Yamauchi and Polyphony Digital makes these Gran Turismos funny. And they usually take their time with them. They rushed out the third one and people didn't like it, so they usually take their time. It's been 5 years.
Long time.
But they have pretty much sewn up every single license. They have Ferrari, Lamborghini, they have everything now.
Can they crash them?
Huh?
Can they crash them?
That is what, like, the last trailer came out. They were doing some rally races and the car didn't hit anything. It just fell into the dirt and there was crumples on the hood of the car. So apparently there's damage. It's not confirmed yet. But that's the speculation. That's what they're working on.
I used to hate that. In most games, you can't crash a car unless
This is, like, there's one thing that, like, Sony's a big company, and Sony doesn't have to take, they don't have to pay these people to take this longer time to put out one game. There's one thing I can assure all of you, that when GT5 comes out, Damien will not see sunlight for a long time.
So no podcasts for a month.
Pray that I have a headset and I can play the game without volume because I'm screwed.
You just I'll just call you and you won't pick up your phone.
I mean, like, you guys watch Top Gear, right?
Yep. Every once in a while, yeah.
I love
that show.
I have an unhealthy love of cars.
Yeah.
And good lord. The last one, 4, I put too many hours. I don't even put a number. But there was about 700 and something cars in the game. I had all of them. Like, days disappeared. I mean, there are certain games that I love. Like, love. Like, how you feel about Before Sunset. Not even close when it comes. It burns that it's taking so long, but I know. Dear God, when this game comes, I feel like buying a second PS3 just to play this one game on.
Oh my God, I love it. It'll be the GT PS3.
No, I mean it's. Oh, Jesus Christ! I even bought a wheel the last time just to play one game. No, I wasn't even playing it. Oh my God! Oh, that was my little tangent.
Would that wheel work with the PS3? Is it different connectors?
It should work. It should work, but you can. I mean, you can buy the adapter because no physical plug for the controllers. All of them are wireless.
They're all wireless?
Yeah.
So you just... And it's all like one big receiver inside the PS3 and then you buy a...
Right, and you have to charge the controller.
What's the max for the number of controllers you can get?
It's supposedly 7, but good luck finding a game that has 7.
Yeah, there's no Mario Party?
But, like, the thing I love about the PS3 is it is really silent. And Microsoft didn't make it so it doesn't break.
Alright, get over it.
And bitter. Did you buy a 360?
Nope.
No. So you have no clue what you're talking about. You see, like, when Windows crashes, you just restart it and
either way, it took both Xbox, Microsoft and Sony about 5 years to make their money back on both their newer consoles. While the Nintendo Wii did well in, the first day?
Yeah. Good luck finding games to play, so. I buy a console to do shit. Not to be pretty in the corner. Mm-mm.
Can I tell you, Dr. Core is making a big deal. He bought a Wii, like, it was the only system he bought, and he put Linux on it.
Also, it made it useful.
You don't realize, Andrew.
Step one, install a synaptic package. Or no, sorry,
open synaptic package. It's a big joke. We're having in compiler class, you know, like one dude was in there with his laptop and he was like, because we're supposed to install some special program. And he was like, how do I install this? He's like, step one, open Synaptic Package Manager. And you now get that joke because you're using Linux.
Yep.
Moving on, though. Yes. We went on a nice tangent there.
I love GT, I can't help.
So, yeah, Jeremy Renner's Mad Max.
Thumbs up.
Any thoughts, Douglas?
Hopefully.
I don't know him well enough, so...
I mean, I liked how it was in 28 Days Later. From what I've seen and heard of The Hurt Locker.
28 Days? Oh, who was he in 28 Days?
He was
in Weeks.
Weeks. Yeah. I said Weeks earlier. No, it just slipped. It's 28 Weeks Later. I'm sorry.
And The Hurt Locker.
And The Hurt Locker, I've heard really good things. He seems, like, just from the trailer for The Hurt Locker and what I've seen, the 28 Weeks, that he will fit Mad Max well. Especially if they play closer to one than the others.
And the nonsense.
Yeah.
What do you think of Weeks, by the way?
I actually think it's a really good sequel.
Shut up.
Still haven't seen it.
It's not really good. It's not awful, but it's like, it's kind of like a bad movie that's okay to watch.
String of Bellies in it.
You know me and horror movies.
Watch you see the first one?
Yes.
Fantastic movie.
No, not yet.
I love it.
It's not my genre.
I think it's so good.
Anyway. I'm just going to accept that, Miranda. Because I saw Last House on the Left.
Uh-huh. Not that great?
Not that
great. Yeah, it looked like it could
be
crap.
But that's me. I've heard people falling over themselves for it. Me and horror movies. I guess we finally gone to that point where...
You finally...
Because I mean, it's just like... There's only so many ways for you to scare people, right? And then, if you're not going to scare people, then you're going to be gruesome. And when you cross the gruesome line, then you just have to be more and more. And there's just so much. I'm like, this is nonsense. And my brain stops accepting all of the madness that's on the screen. So, I guess.
What about The Orphanage?
No, The Orphanage was cool, and I think that's the last. I mean, I'm willing to give up The Orphanage at this point to stop watching horror movies. I'm just not.
That's the funny thing, though. That's how I would describe 28 Days Later. It was cool. I actually, when I first watched it, I said, why does everybody think this is a horror movie? Because I didn't think it was that scary.
It's more of an action film.
Yeah, it's an action, thriller, suspense type thing. I mean,
I hear that Drag Me to Hell is pretty good.
So. That movie is awesome, and it's more of a comedy.
Right,
than
no, it's dreamy. It's dreamy.
Anyways, moving on, last news item that I have here, Futurama is going to come back in 2010 with the original cast.
The full cast.
Although those latter movies weren't that...
I haven't watched any of them.
No, I haven't watched any of those
I
movies.
Used to watch some of the shows, the episodes,
no,
and I really liked
like
it.
Towards the end of the episodes, they got better and better, but they had, I think it's 4 movies.
Yeah,
I've
had a few.
I saw Bender's Game and Beasts of a Billion Backs, and the first one that the name is slipping.
Futurama?
Right, Futurama.
No,
movies.
No, is that the name of the movie?
No, it's Futurama, Beasts with a Billion Backs, and Bender's Game, sort of. But they were okay, they weren't great. But if I can get more, I'd rather more of that than no Futurama. And it's time we kill The Simpsons. I saw a recent episode.
No. Yeah, The Simpsons have been slacking.
So I guess
it's just,
even though I personally like the movie that they released.
No, the movie was good.
It's spoken by Andrew, who is wearing a shirt with Homer Simpson on it.
Yeah, you brought me back this shirt. I like this shirt.
I saw a recent episode. I think because South Park does such a better job of, they're quicker and they do a better job of.
Social commentary,
and The Simpsons.
I think the problem is The Simpsons have been going too long. Like, they're now making jokes about jokes they made in the first few seasons.
They're mocking Simpsons.
Yeah, but also, you know what I think is a bit of a factor. Now, I haven't watched either of these shows that we're talking about in a while. Simpsons more so than South Park. South Park I'll watch every once in a while, but I have a feeling that South Park is not quicker, but much. They don't have a problem going certain places.
Right,
because
they're on Comedy Central. Yeah. It's that TV, right?
Yeah, and so The Simpsons
still have to tone it down
exactly for
a family audience.
You know? And when South Park, for example, I mean, just the language. When South Park, when the guys are like, okay, we want to say shit here. And then Comedy Central says, no, you can't say shit. They're like, okay, I'll just beep it up. As opposed to the Simpsons, they're just like,
I have to find
I can't even,
wrong,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I guess, I think it's time we speak with the Simpsons people and say,
yeah,
you need to wrap this up.
You remember in South Park, they had an episode where they were making the joke for the whole episode. The Simpsons did that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you talking about when it was Butters? Butters was his superhero. What the hell was his name? The guy with the foil.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
that was a good one.
And it was all about everything that happened was, just like in The Simpsons. You know, because The Simpsons has been around so long that they've done everything kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of there. Anyways, is there any other news you guys wanted to bring up before we move on?
No.
Oh, okay. I'd like to speak personally to Mr. Mark Webb. Your poster came out. your poster is now currently in our theater. I would.
We're hoping
like you,
it's not a lie.
Yes, and I would please like you to speak with upper management so that it comes out within the next 3 days because I would like to watch it. Thank you very much.
500 days. Oh.
Yes, 500 days of summer.
How did Brothers Bloom?
Ryan Johnson, you need to talk to those bitches too because your post has been up for like a month now.
I'll tweet him and
I just want to know how Brothers Bloom was.
I've heard fantastic things about it.
Gosh, damn it,
I should go and watch that. I think I'm going down there tomorrow.
You should knock on the glass and be like, Brothers Bloom. No.
Can I get Brothers Bloom?
Oh, no.
Fair enough. Can't argue that.
Anyways, trailers that came out this week. The new Coen Brothers film got a trailer this week, A Serious Man.
Please, I need help. I've had marital problems.
Honey, I think it's time that we start talking about a divorce.
Larry, we're gonna be fine.
Professional, you name it.
Larry, we've received a number of letters denigrating you and urging us not to grant you tenure.
I need help.
We're gonna be fine.
I've tried to be a serious man.
We're gonna be fine.
Tried to do right, be a member of the community.
We're gonna be fine.
Please, just tell him I need help. Please.
We're gonna be fine.
I need help.
We're gonna be fine.
The rabbi is busy.
He didn't look busy.
He's thinking.
What did you think about this, Douglas?
It was a serious trailer.
Weak.
Okay, no. Okay, here's the thing about that trailer. I thought it was really strange because it felt as if... You know how trailers don't actually feel like movies in the sense that you look at the trailer and you don't say, that trailer is like... Coen Brothers movie, or
right.
It's a Spielberg film. It doesn't look like that person directed the trailer.
This trailer
looked like the Coen Brothers directed this trailer. Exactly. All right. So the trailer is extremely
quirky.
It's quirky, but it draws from something kind of like There Will Be Blood. Not in the visual style, but just the way that the audio, the soundtrack of it is very, it's not music as such, sure there's some, you know, strings thrown in and crap like that, but the bass, the backbone of the music is really sound effects. And so there's that, and that's kind of cool, and the trailer itself looks okay. However, I commented about this when we were watching it, it's never a good sign when
you have to say
from the guys that gave
you
all
to give
this
the
resume
and it's, you know,
and they tell you it's a Coen Brothers movies to begin with,
yeah,
and then they're like, Just so you have to remember,
gave you all this shit.
It's okay to say, from the people that gave you Raising Arizona comes this. Right. It's not our okay last movie to have his five or six of your films go up like it's credits.
Did you like any of this shit?
Come with us.
I love how though like, they
like
had
chicken?
To
yes, you, I do
like in those list of films they list mostly comedy except they had to mention No Country because that's
yeah,
the one that one not.
Yeah. They also know that, you know what I thought was weird.
Burn
that
After Reading.
Yes,
isn't there.
It is. No, it is in there. Oh. That's what I thought was weird because they put in Burn After Reading, which was one of their poor efforts. Not in terms of quality, in terms of how well it did.
No, they're just reminding you that they've done all this shit. So if you're one of the people that like all that shit,
go and watch this movie.
Come here.
Yeah.
Do you like chicken and soup? Yes.
One thing I definitely found strange about this trailer was not only the fact that it gave us absolutely no information.
Yeah,
is what trailers are supposed to.
No, I think trailers are supposed to give you
information. It gave you information you can piece together. This guy is very sad about his life.
Yes, his life
he's getting a divorce.
F'd in the
you know, he's a teacher, possibly at a college. You get tidbits about certain
mm-hmm.
things.
And I think you're right in that this trailer was definitely directed by the Coen brothers. I mean, they made it make a musical beat during
yeah.
the trailer, which I find is really stupid. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of cool for like a minute and a half video / audio thing. Like, I mean, I look at it, but that's cool. Is that the movie?
Because
I don't want to watch a movie based on that. Because, I mean, unless the movie is going to be 90 minutes of them making a beat over continually, building on a musical beat for 90 minutes, which I doubt it is, it's kind of stupid to release as a trailer. Even though I'm almost sure that the only reason they got away with it was because they could tag it a Coen Brothers film. So anyone who really watches films will see it's a Coen Brothers and not even bother to watch the rest. They'll just be like, oh, I'm going.
Like me.
Yeah.
I actually like this trailer. There are times when I prefer trailers to tell me nothing. I don't, because there's an upcoming trailer that says too much about the movie.
Oh yeah.
The first Dark Knight trailer told us all we knew was that the Joker is in it, and that is it.
No, but they didn't even have that. It was just... I remember the first trailer. The first trailer was horrible.
No,
you know what it was?
I
loved it at the time. Oh, wait.
No, he's talking about the teaser
trailer. Oh, okay, sorry.
No.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the one where it had... You know,
the
like
bad logo.
No. The when he jumped and there was like blue thing. I'm like...
Yeah.
It told you absolutely nothing that was going to happen in this movie. And it gave us the tagline, why so serious? And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, knew nothing about... You're like, what?
You know which trailer I can think of which was really awesome and told us absolutely nothing? MGS4.
God, shut up.
No.
That 10-minute
clip
there is. And you had the
Stop.
Handcuffs.
Stop. That's not a trailer.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's a mini movie. Kojima can get the handcuff trailer. The first time we saw that trailer, we went... I like where this is headed. And we knew he was a superpower and he threw a whale into the ocean. That is it. And then I like those trailers. I don't need to know everything about the movie. Just make the trailer interesting so that I can get a feel of what you're aiming at. But I don't need to know everything.
The plot.
That's
you don't need to know the plot.
Exactly. I remember we saw the Death Race trailer and we knew after 2.5 minutes. No one needed to see that movie.
Yeah.
Everything was told. We knew everything. I don't like that. If you're going to make a trailer, and I know most of these trailers are farmed out to other people. At least, and even if there's nothing in the movie, you need 2 minutes to get someone interested. And if you can condense the movie into 2 minutes, don't do that. Find some other. Mix it up so that I can get his new favorite movie, The Girlfriend Experience. Remember that trailer? No, what did we know after watching that
trailer? She was a prostitute and her boyfriend was
There was some dude beating a drum
actually,
and playing some music.
Technically, he didn't know she was a prostitute. Exactly. The only reason you knew she was a prostitute was because you read the article that went exactly. along with it.
There was a
and you knew our boyfriend
playing
was
shitty music. And two people, and we love the trailer. He yeah. told us nothing. So we need to go towards that end and don't. So that's why I enjoy this trailer. You know, you get, you know, Coen Brothers is doing it. I agree with you when they have to show the resumes. The red flag. But I enjoy the trailer. I like that trailer.
Yeah, you know what that is though? That's really the company saying, guys, I know Country for All Men did well, but that Burn After Reading, you need to tell them what you did. You know, that's what it is. You need to make them remember who you are.
Another trailer that hit this week was Fantastic Mr. Fox.
And so it begins. Welcome to the fantastic world of Mr. Fox.
Woo!
Should we dance? His life is fantastic.
Pure wild animal craziness.
His wife is fantastic.
If what I think is happening, it better not be.
His neighbors. Not so fantastic.
This is Bogus, Bunce, and Bean, three of the meanest, nastiest, ugliest farmers in his valley.
What was that?
They're digging us up!
But they're about to discover...
Oh, Foxy, is help on the way?
He's one fox.
I've got an idea.
You can't out-fox.
Mole, what do you got?
I can see in the dark.
We can use that.
Rabbit, I'm fast.
Badger,
demolitions expert.
What? Since when? Here, put these bandit hats on.
I don't have a bandit hat, but I modified this tube sock.
We look good.
Yeah, we do.
The only security is if old hunting beagle laced some blueberries with sleeping powder. Beagles love blueberries.
A titanium card.
What's this thing you do, the whistle with the clicking sound?
That's my trademark.
We're different. We all are. Him especially. But there's something kind of fantastic about that, isn't there?
I can fight my own fight.
No, you can't.
I guess we should start doing something, right?
Let's see some hustle. Yeah!
This fall, forget Super.
That was close, Rat. Be careful.
Oh, I'm as careful as I...
Ignore Incredible.
I can fit through there. You wanna know why?
Why?
Because I'm little.
It's all about Fantastic.
You really are fantastic.
I try.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
What's this lightning bolt?
This fence might be electric.
Well, I just hope it doesn't mean thunder, because I have a phobia of that.
We got a sneak peek at stuff from it when we saw the stills last week.
Yeah.
And we were all talking about how we weren't sure and whatever, but now we've finally seen like motion and some form of a plot. And what do you think about this, Damien?
No, I'm not on board with this trailer. Not so much that it's a bad trailer, but the look of this movie doesn't have me interested. It looks wrong. I don't really know what to explain. The animation, the look and feel of this movie is just, it feels off. Maybe like when I'm watching the movie, cause it's 2 minutes, so maybe when they start up the movie and you get a better sense of the world, everything will feel more in place and you get used to the look, and then it won't bother me as much. But in the 2 minutes that this trailer was for, it was just so jarring, the disconnect between whatever world that the fox lives in, and because were there real people in there at any point?
Yeah. Right. It's like they're animals, and then right, outside at the end of the
world, and then there's people.
People coming into their world.
Not, I don't know. Wasn't a fan of the trailer at all.
Douglas?
George Clooney is in this film.
Okay.
Meryl Streep's in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney's in this film.
Jason Schwartzman.
Wasn't he in ER?
Owen Wilson.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that one
either. Okay. No, that's true. He ruined Batman with nipples.
He did not ruin Batman. Someone had to direct that and green light all that shit. And I know who that is. I will not call his name.
Schumacher.
But anyway, this trailer, I see with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not as adamant as you.
Fair enough.
Like, I like the facts. I like that Wes Anderson is directing this film. I like the cast.
Yes.
I like the concept of the stop motion. But the trailer just... it isn't quite there. It's not bad. It's not awful. I don't think that. But I think it's fairly average. Right? I don't think it's fantastic. And
that's
words. Yeah. There you go.
That's fantastic,
Mr. Fox, you are not that fantastic. But yeah, I just think it's it's a fairly average trailer for a movie that I'm still interested in only for the facts of it.
I have to say I really like this trailer a lot.
Really?
Like, I mean, it's doing a lot of things
it's like
which...
Three Bears.
Is that PCP? I
don't It's doing a lot of things that I don't think will work. Like, people... at this point, for some odd reason, I can see this movie flopping. Right?
Oh, really? An odd reason? It's a
motion.
Wes Anderson film.
Has
stop
he made
motion.
A financially profitable film?
He
Has
must
he?
Have the key... giving him money to make new movies.
He makes movies. I don't think many of his movies do well at the box office.
Like
I can't even think
Smith
he's a Kevin
type.
Smith. He makes his number and then everyone's fine with him.
Fair enough. Yeah, they keep giving him money to make shit, so he must make them some money.
But anyways, the stop motion especially, you can see that he's purposely going for like the 70s stop motion look. The kind of thing that I saw when I was really young and I was watching JBC and they showed all these stop motion.
But not to cut you, but we live in the future.
Yes, no.
2010
yes, so
is like 2 days away.
So are you saying people shouldn't be allowed to go back if they want?
No, if you're going to use stop motion, what did Caroline use? What did it use, Andrew?
Stop motion.
Right. Did it look like that? No.
No.
It looked fluid. The motion looked right. The world around her look right. This looks bad. Stop motion look weird.
So back to my question, are you saying that he shouldn't?
No. Do a better job.
But no, it's not like he's made a mistake. It's not that he intended to make Caroline and was like, oops, we forgot to put on the camera half the time. No, he meant to do it like this.
Right, and that's my problem. There are methods to make it look better. Why didn't he go that route? If people put shitty CG in front of you, you curse. Right? He said this person is an ass and refuses to use proper CG. Why can't I say the same about poor stop motion?
Back to what we spoke about earlier. We spoke about Fifth Element, right? And you guys speak about how it still works, right? However, I can promise you, if you go and look at that film, as good as the CG was at that time, if they remade all of that, all of those CG today and refilmed everything with the proper tools and technology, it would look astounding!
Fair enough,
right?
Andrew.
So,
but I'm saying he is making the stop animation from a previous time,
mm-hmm.
when there's evidence that you can do it better now, why not use the better method?
Because the story and how it's set up, it totally works
right,
as
that,
those old
right,
stories.
What I'm saying is that is my problem. That is what I'm saying. If he's going to go that route, right, and make it... I've seen Caroline. I didn't
mm-hmm.
love the movie, but I did love the look of that movie. Why couldn't he have gone that
and
route?
This is the thing that I think will screw the film, right? As a mainstream film, I don't think even children of today
mm-hmm.
will want to look at that as opposed to Coraline.
Fair.
Right? I think all of them will earlier in the year have seen Coraline and their parents will drag them to the film and they'll be like, Coraline looked better. Why
this
does that
like
look
shit.
So stocky? It looks so stocky and so...
I don't think they're going to use that.
Actually,
word.
Can I tell you that I was extremely surprised by the way that the stop motion looked in the trailer because of the stills that I had seen before.
Mm-hmm.
stills that I had seen before looked extremely detailed.
Exactly.
Extremely good. And, I shouldn't say like that, because good is a bad way for me to put it. It's not like one is good and the other is bad. But it looked very, it looked as if it would be, you know, like a Coraline type thing. But then
they
wasn't.
Spent the time and put
so that
all
was a
that
bit
detail on everything, and you saw it. Because even when they put the camera close up, you can see the amount of detail.
Yeah, especially you know which still got me, the one with the hedgehog.
Right,
this is
someone, the Bill Murray character.
Someone had to sit there and make them look like that. All right, if you're going to take all that time and effort, you tell me you chose to animate it poorly.
No, don't say poor.
You see, that's the thing
he's,
I'm trying to get
going
away from.
For a nostalgic look. This is not, like Andrew said, it's
but this
not
is
a mistake.
We're in the future. It's 2010. Every movie we've ever watched 2 days from now would be the future.
So question. Have you ever gone back to films in like the 70s and then showed it at them? Why does it look like that?
Yeah. At times, yes.
Don't ask questions that you don't
get. There's things that I see and I'm like, well, we can see the progression. We see where people used to do that. Thank God they've stopped. We're now in an age where even piss poor directors like Uwe Boll have some idea of how to shoot shit so that it doesn't look like nonsense.
And I'd just like everyone to know, this is the man who doesn't like Star Wars.
Listen to me. Let's be clear. I don't like Star Wars.
Okay,
not because it's not
that
good.
Star Trek?
No, I like one Star Trek movie.
No.
In general, no.
Stop. You see...
Listen to me.
No, I don't love Star Wars.
Let's be clear.
I don't hate Star Wars.
There
is an unwritten rule.
Yes.
You cannot.
Mm-hmm.
You actually, I should put it another way. You must like one. Star Wars or Star Trek.
Right, you cannot like
you
both.
You cannot love both, but you must love one.
No.
You must.
You either are
a Wars man or a Trek man. You can, like you say, enjoy one movie in, you know, somewhere and think they're okay, you know, but you must love one.
All right. I'm not a child. And B, you said I don't like Star Wars. It's just unfair. Because people hear that and their heads start. What? How does he talk about movies he doesn't like?
Remember, Damon, they can't find your host.
Let's relax. Right? Movies weren't bad.
Email me and I'll give you his direction.
Fair enough. Good luck finding him. And I own several guns now.
It's the pink.
Right. So, I like one Star Trek movie, Wrath of Khan.
I've seen some others.
Pretty terrible.
The new one?
I saw first three Star Wars movies. The first one, two, and three first. 4, 5, 6, second.
Okay, wait. By one, two, and three, do you mean...
Episode 1, 2, 3 first.
Okay,
so I saw the shit first.
Okay.
Knew it was nonsense. I'm like, this is garbage. And there was people trying to convince themselves that it was good at the time that it was coming out. But now it is unanimous that I was right. The movies were terrible. I went back and saw 4, 5, and 6. While I understand that the story is pretty good, I know why people enjoy it, but I didn't watch it at a time where all the shit that Lucas was doing was new, right? And so a lot of the things that I was seeing now, I was looking back and seeing, didn't look as fun. Because part of the reason people love those movies is because of the look. When you saw that movie in this, it was the 70s, right? The first one was 70s.
The first one was, it might be 79.
Right.
Yeah.
Whenever it came out, the movie looked visually stunning. Everyone that I talked to that saw the movie, when it came out, they're like, this movie's amazing, it looked good, it sounded great. And I can see all of that, but I'm just not as enamored because I saw it at a time. I saw Matrix. Saw a lot of other things.
So does technology hold back a lot of love for films for you?
So the big TIE fighter fight.
Honestly,
right?
No, Andrew,
with squares and madness. Exactly.
It does play a factor.
No, but what I agree with a lot of people is that after he went back and redid a lot of shit, because I saw
it became worse.
Right. It didn't help.
Yes.
It didn't help. Right. There's something nice about how he did the movies the first time. But there's no way for me to pretend that what the TIE fighter scene, especially, people love that scene, but it's square button. I didn't even play games that look like that. Right? Nothing looked like that. I have no reference to that kind of madness. Right? And that doesn't help. I must tell. To be immersed in the movie when I see lines and nonsense doesn't help. Right? So I like the movies. I enjoy the story. But I can't say I love the films, because I don't. Indiana Jones, though, I saw those late. Absolutely love those.
But
movies.
That didn't hold any CG at all.
Right. So it's not only about, you know, when the movie came out. Because old movies, there's a lot of old movies that I like. But if someone were to see The Matrix now, right, they wouldn't be at, wow, this is so amazing, when they saw a lot of the things. When we saw it, and it was the first time we saw it, I remember the trailer for that?
You know, yeah.
Boom, but, boom, and he was
you
doing
know,
this, and
I
everybody
watched
was
it just the other day on Blu-ray, and I thought to myself, holy shit, this is amazing.
but
and I could actually see, I watched it, and I was like, you know what? This is an iconic film. This film will define its era.
So my question to you is, do you imagine that in 20, 30 years, people will look back on The Matrix with the same hatred, not hatred, but the same eyes that you are looking on Star Wars?
Right, because they won't have the gloss. It won't be there. It's the truth. it just won't be there. I saw Advent Children, we're talking about that, which is a completely CG movie, right? I saw that, and I went, oh my god, this shit is amazing. Right? Now, the story is nonsense. The fighting is phenomenal, right? But I know that where they are now, right, there's things that can render what they did in, like, close to it in real time. The PS3, I've seen games that are that close, right? I know years and years to come, they'll have CG things that are so far so I don't expect people to look back on that film and feel how I felt when I saw it. And part of the reason I love that film is because there's nothing else like it. When I in 2004 or 5 when it came out, there's nothing even close to that, right? It was the only thing that looked like that no, that you could get anywhere.
I'm sorry, I forgot what we're talking about. You're using too many pronouns.
Right. So you guys brought up the fact that he said I hated Star Wars for some strange reason.
Cause it's true.
But I'm not a hater. I enjoy the same things you enjoy, not as much. You guys were children when you saw it, and I understand that.
Actually, no, I have to agree with you. That plays a major part in it. There's a huge amount of nostalgia, at least for me, when I watch those movies. Especially, not just Star Wars, but even Indiana Jones and those type of things. There's a lot of, like, I look at this and I think, I remember when I watched this when I was 5 years old.
But nostalgia is fun,
because
I remember loving G-Force and Jason and the Wheel Warriors and all of that shit.
Yeah.
80s Saturday morning cartoons.
I saw some of those episodes. Like, I hunted down some of the episodes recently.
No, Jason and the Wheel Warriors, you cannot take that away from me.
You continue. Even Thundercats, I'm like, there's no way Thundercats.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Don't take my word for it.
Is it on YouTube? Can I look them up on YouTube?
Go and watch old Thundercats.
I'm probably going to watch him on YouTube.
And the child inside of you is going to go, yes. Awesome. But somewhere along the line, the nostalgia will fade away.
Anyways, moving on. Like, Fantastic Mr. Fox, I think it's an amazing looking trailer.
Oh, we're talking about trailers.
Yeah. Huge tangent again.
It's always Damien's fault, I'm sure.
Damien didn't like it at all. Douglas was like,
meh. Douglas went meh, and this youth is in love with
him. Yeah, it's like the three bears, you know? One's a little bit too much, one's not quite
moving
there,
on.
One's, you know, just right.
The final trailer I want to talk about this week was Peter Jackson's newest film.
District 9?
No, that's Neil Blomkamp.
Halo, he's
no.
doing it. Damn it!
Can I tell you what the trailer
the
is?
The Hobbit?
Nope. Am I allowed to say the name? The Lovely Bones.
He's cute. Does he like you as much as you like him?
Grandma, would you please just drop it? Hey, Mom! Look at me! Smile!
My name is Salmon, like the fish.
Okay, shipmate, take it away.
First name, Susie.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Susie.
You are beautiful, Susie Salmon.
I was 14 years old when I was murdered.
You're the Salmon girl, right?
On December 6th, 1973.
We didn't find her, Mrs. Salmon. I'm very sorry.
Dad, she's dead, isn't she? You miss her, don't you?
She's gone.
What if she isn't? What if she's still here?
Grandma, Susie's in the in-between.
I wasn't gone. I was alive in my own perfect world. But in my heart, I knew it wasn't perfect. My murderer still haunted me.
Gentlemen, left.
Susie would never go off with a stranger. It had to be someone she knew.
I've got a name for you.
This is police work. This is what we do.
My father had the pieces, but he couldn't make them fit.
You have a tomb in the middle of your house.
I waited for justice, but justice did not come.
You're a Salmon girl, right?
There's definitely something wrong with this guy.
Why won't you listen to him?
Because you need evidence. You need proof.
What did you think of this trailer?
What did I think of this trailer? Okay. Well, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not sure if I believe this or not, but a lot of people are saying it. There's a lot of information in this trailer. Some might and have said that it's not just a lot, but it's too much information in the trailer because you know everything. You know everything that happens, apparently, right? You know who the I'll tell you from now. This trailer is this movie is about a little girl that dies, but not just dies; she gets murdered. And in the trailer, you already know who the murderer is. I have seen on Twitter where people have said that this is based on a book, and in the book, you know who the killer is from, like, the second page. So I don't know if, you know, this doesn't give away that much, or if it does, whatever. I'll wait to see. However, what I will tell you is this. This trailer makes this movie look like it's awful. It looks like it's, you know, that generic crap type of thing where the daughter gets killed, the father and the mother are very sad. You know, the mother gets over it, the father gets upset, obsessed with this thing, and then, so, you know, all sorts of things happen, and then the father is proven right that the person he thinks is the killer, that everybody said, oh, could never be the killer, they're a stand-up
nice
individual, is the killer, right? That's what it looks like to me. The only thing that I did mention when I saw this trailer was that it also looks like the movie might have a bit of the charm that, say, for instance, Pushing Daisies had, which which made Pushing Daisies so good, because a lot of what Pushing Daisies did was a little bit cheesy, but just the way that they, it's like Victoria, the way that they did the cliches, the
execution,
they put forward the cheese was really good. And so if this movie can do that, then maybe there will be something to it. But from the trailer alone, I'm not 100% convinced. I'm actually about 95% convinced this is going to be awful. Alright.
I understand what you guys are saying. But at the same time...
You guys? I'm two people. Okay.
Sorry. what you're saying, Douglas. But I have to say I kind of like this trailer. Not for story, but for the look. Especially in that middle part when we get to see the girl in the
fantasy
in-between,
world.
You know?
Yeah, she goes to heaven.
No, she's not. She's in the
in-between. Yeah, actually, yeah, she goes to paradise.
It kind of reminds me of that movie, Robin Williams' film.
Yeah, Where Dreams May Come.
Is that name? I can't remember.
I believe it is, yeah.
Where he gets to go, where their idea of heaven is they get to go wherever they consider is heaven, and he gets to go in his painting.
His wife's painting,
sorry. And it's just so beautiful just to see this world and see them explore it. Like, I look forward to that 30-minute section of the film where
it becomes the fall.
I still haven't watched that
movie. What is wrong with you, man?
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the fall and of Pushing Daisies, the dude from Pushing Daisies is in the fall. And I really want to watch
it. Cannot afford any more tangents.
Yes, we're running really late.
What's his name again? Pace something?
What is wrong with
you? Alan Pace?
So yeah, I look forward to this film just for that section alone, but otherwise it does look slightly interesting, even though I can see the story problems Douglas is having.
So like Andrew, the middle section when she's in our purgatory place, it looks really pretty. Hopefully he has, Peter Jackson has seen the fall and you just rips that off. I'll be fine with that. But the trailer does tell me too much. I don't think I need to watch this movie at all. It tells me how she died, who killed her, and that her father is going to kick his ass. And then I can infer from that he's going to beat him up and not kill him and turn him over to the police. Because this movie is heading down cliche street. Maybe Peter Jackson will surprise me. That's all I can hope for.
You know what I
Though
have to say to
Mark
that?
Wahlberg is in it.
You know what I have to say to that?
And the last movie he made was King Kong.
That's exactly what I have to say to that.
Not. Yes, he gave me Lord of the Rings. Fair enough.
But King Kong. And also, The Happening.
No, we don't talk about that.
Yeah. And then there is Max Payne.
Thank you. Exactly.
So we can just wrap up those trailers right there.
King Kong happening, Max Payne. Alright,
and this week we decided to review Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Who is this?
Don, let me put it to you straight. We're not here to get you. But you've got to understand, you're in junior high now. This goes in the computer, on your record.
Hey, Vina, what are you looking at?
Nothing.
You didn't come in here to wash your hands.
Yes, I did.
Hi, Dawn. We were just wondering, are you a lesbian?
Brandon, I can't be your girlfriend. I'm in love with someone else.
Who?
Steve Rogers. In high school.
Who's Steve Rogers?
Well, Steve Rogers is only like one of the most popular guys in class.
Steve, you will fall in love with me. You will take me away from this place.
Dawn, for you.
I'm thinking of using this one for my first album cover.
Oh, Steve, they're all so beautiful.
You better get ready.
Steve! I have to talk to you.
Well, Steve is horny.
How horny?
He'd go out with anyone as long as it was a girl and willing.
You mean have intercourse?
Duh. So welcome to the dollhouse.
Welcome to the dollhouse. You're her older sister, and Missy loves you.
I love you.
You do not.
I do
not.
Do not!
You are not leaving this table until you tell your sister that you love her.
Do you think about girls?
What, are you kidding? I want to get into a good school.
Were you playing with my dolls?
Okay, I decided to. I chose this movie. And
you're going to help us.
So you can kick us off, Douglas.
Okay, welcome to Dollhouse. It's a movie about... It's, you know... I shouldn't say typical. But there are some typical aspects of it. It's a movie about a girl, a young lady in junior high school who has the...
Misfortune,
thank you, that's a great word, of having the nickname Wiener Dog.
And being rather unpleasant today.
That's something that a very mean person would say, Damien.
I could have called her an ugly troll. Would that be
Okay, so this movie is about this misanthrope, this young girl in junior high school that gets bullied. She is, you know, not the most popular girl in the... Actually, then again, technically...
She's
why don't... No, hold on. Why do people call people like her unpopular? The definition of popular means that everybody knows you, and if everybody hates you, it's because they know you, so you have to be popular.
All right, she's an outcast. Let us not
because
her
popular culture is stupid.
anyway, so this girl is not very liked. She has like one friend who
is coming out of elementary school,
and they meet in her clubhouse. The special people club, they call it, in the back of her house. She has a very odd relationship with this boy, Brandon, where first he wants to rape her, and then they end up being quasi-boyfriend and girlfriend, so that's fun. Lots of, like, awful things happen in this movie. So it's like a typical high school movie where you are not accepted and you get bullied and that, but then
rising to become popular.
She stays down there. But not just that. After all of these, like, you know, petty bad things that happen to her, that it happens to everybody, these really awful things happen to her, and it just never gets better. Mm-hmm. And it's kind
Even
of
to
hard
end.
To watch the movie because of that. And I'm not saying that this is a bad movie, but I'm saying that it's just physically, like, I was watching the movie and I was like, please, just end, or get happy, please, because
This is definitely a sad film.
Yeah, it was sad the whole way through. And so, I want to say I didn't like the movie, because I didn't like the way I felt throughout the movie. But you know what, I think this really is a good movie. Because of that. Because I felt that pain. And that's what you're supposed to... That's what I think they were going for here. Because it really is a set of bad situations, one after another.
Fair enough.
Damien?
Alright. So this chick is an outcast. She's also the middle child. So she's treated poorly at school by the children. She's also, for some unknown reason, treated poorly by the teachers.
Yeah.
And she comes home
about that.
Where she's the middle child and she's treated poorly by her parents. She has a little sister, she has an older brother. The little sister gets all the attention. The older brother couldn't care less. He's going off to college and pretty much hates everybody that's in that town. There's a girl at school that sums up why everyone hates her in one line. It's because you're ugly. Now, this movie, I do not like. And after I finished watching the movie, I was so aggravated that I set out to find out why other people like this movie. Now, most of the reviews that I read, they said that they could find something relatable about her situation.
Wow.
My problem, and because of that, I think I have found what my problem is. Because
you're a pretty person?
Fair enough. I don't know how the American school system is, because we're in Jamaica. And different, that is one big difference between our cultures, I think. I am a middle child. I am a bit of a loner like this girl. And so there should have been something for me, at least, to kind of relate to. But there isn't. She's so oblivious to why people hate her, which I don't... If everyone around you hates you, there's no way you should be oblivious to the people who hate. She knows her family hates her. She knows people at school hate her. Yet she still tries to find people in that circle to like her. And bad things keep happening to this girl all throughout the movie. And even to the end, she has no real idea why these things are happening to her. And nothing about this film is relatable. Not to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the States, when you're an outcast, people treat you really bad. But in Jamaica, if you're an outcast, people tend to leave you alone. Yeah. Nobody cares. People find shit to do. Right? And if you don't have friends in Jamaica, it is your fault. Everyone can find people. I mean, there's people that... We went to camping. There's people at camping that... It's pretty... People hate it a lot. Like, certain people. Everybody had friends. You tease people or nobody. I mean... And I think that's a cultural thing.
No, it's definitely a thing.
But
and
I just... There's just nothing... There's nothing to like about this movie. And it is so depressing and drab. And slow. This movie does drag. That by the end of the movie, I think the director was trying to make an anti-teen, like a lot of the movies out that time were, had the uplifting message at the end. Oh, you're an outcast now, but you can rise above it. This was just straight, like, just giving her, she just had the worst life imaginable all the way till the end, and then the movie ended. So, if it was supposed to make me depressed, it failed. What it did make me was annoyed. Because there's just no, there's nothing in this movie for me to latch onto. I don't like this movie at all.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing for me either to relate to. But at the same time, I just remembered, there's one song in there that's really awesome. The one with the guitar.
Welcome to the Dollhouse song?
Well, no, that one. But just as a part, I didn't mean like that, but as a part of the soundtrack itself. It's like a rock song, and
what scene? I'm not sure.
It's actually played throughout the movie.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that, because they definitely use the music a lot in this film to mean something. I'm still not sure what.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever we had a scene where she was running around, you had got that rock music
that,
playing, like it was a rebel kind of
boom,
thing.
Boom,
and then whenever we were
really
focusing
cool
on the little sister Missy, we got that pretty girl ballet music which she would be dancing to in her tutu and shit. And I mean, I'm not sure whether the director, because I mean visually and tonally the film stayed the exact same throughout those moments. It was no difference other than the fact that he had this music playing over. So I don't know if the director meant for me to, like, when the rock was playing, I was supposed to feel like rebellious and sad for this girl who was being treated horribly by everyone. And then when the pretty music was playing, I was supposed to feel happy and uplifting for the young sister who had it good. I don't know, because I didn't feel that. I mean, there are, throughout this movie, as you said, I just felt sad for this girl.
No,
you see, I understand what you are saying in Jamaica, but you see, we've had this conversation a lot of time about films.
I'm going to put
it where it's nothing
ignorant
like what we're used to. But I can kind of just, like, whenever I watch a film, I can
just
kind of
think to yourself, what if that happened?
Yeah, what
me?
If that was
yeah
me in that situation?
I would think that sucks.
She's an idiot. You should find better friends.
Hard to say.
Seriously. So if you were in that situation. Right?
Yeah, but if everybody hates you, there's nobody else
everybody
to have friends
who
with.
Everybody in their school hates her.
Yeah.
And everybody at home hates her.
Yeah.
That consists of everybody in the town. That's it. That's what you're trying to
but
tell
for
me
her. Yes, she's 10 years old. What was she going to do? She going to go to the club?
She ran away to New York and no one missed her. Oh, nobody missed her. Do not tell me she couldn't find other people. Really? Really, that's what you're going to say? Wow, it's moving.
I mean,
she's so stupid.
You see,
that's what bugged me the most. She's just so dumb. She understands her situation. She knows everybody hates her, and does nothing to try and rectify that situation. Like how everybody.
She tried to latch on to what's his name, Steven somebody.
You mean the older friend?
The lead singer.
I don't remember.
And then the dude that's trying to
Brandon as well.
Right, the dude that's trying to rape her. I'm like, all right, yeah, him like her. I'm kissed her. I'm like, let's see what's going to happen here. And him left, and she's like, okay. But when the runaway to New York thing, that took it a bit far. There was a shark.
During that dream, during that dream scene, I just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Because it was clear it was a dream scene.
Like, as soon as it became what it is in the point of the dream
the
was,
the
you
girl
knew it was a dream.
Ran to her and hugged her, I'm like, this is nonsense.
But, you know, this film, as I was saying, it's just really sad and depressing to see a person just put down. Like, it's like all of those funny, horrible funny moments in Harry Potter, in the first early Harry Potter movies, when he's living in the cupboard and crap, and the parents are making, the uncle is treating him like shit, that we laugh at that because of how it's filmed. But in this film, it's not funny at all. You know, it's made to make you feel bad for being that kind of person which hated someone because it was popular to hate.
Yeah, but
it's not something we did.
No, I'm not talking. The situation just ringed untrue for me. Does anybody know anybody that has ever been in this kind of situation? Even the Columbine people, right? They're like, oh, everyone treated us like outcasts and whatever. There's like six of them. I don't have six friends. Outcast with six other people. How do you consider yourself that?
It's because you're an Arsenal fan. No, but I mean, like, first of all, as you said, we're in Jamaica. We've never been to high school in America. We don't know exactly firsthand what the situation is there.
Nobody likes
me. Right? But I mean, I've heard stories from people. And I mean, after seeing enough films, enough high school American films.
I'm awful. I think that is it. I think the Damien inside, because Mr. White goes to work, but Damien is the person you talk to. He hates people. And really, she's so stupid. It's so annoying. She's so stupid.
You can't get over that.
Give
Alright, what is it that she did when she was stupid?
Andrew, if you're in a situation, if she's aware that people hate her, right? At home and at school. Yet she still tries to find people to like her, to get the people who she knows hates her to like her, when there's clearly other places she could go.
Like,
and she, again, went to New York. No one missed her. Right?
So are you saying that she should have just been knocking door to door until someone said, you know what, you look alright?
That's not what I'm saying. I went to Campion. All my friends went to Calabar and JC. Right? They were all older than me. So I was kind of an outcast. Because the understanding was that I couldn't play sports. And I only read books. Right? That was the understanding. I went to Campion. These guys went to the cool schools. Right? And they were all older than me. So when I went home, it's pretty much alone, right? No, it wasn't a situation where people hated me so that I couldn't talk to anybody. But if you're alone, right, and you need friends, but there's somewhere where you have already gone and seen that there's no friends available, there's places where there's other places you can go where nobody knows you, where you can lie to people and become popular. We've all seen that. If she's that self-aware, and she's clearly not stupid. Because when she did the test in the detention, she's like, no, I'm better than a D. Right? Clearly she's not a dunce person. Find new friends. She found that. If going to the elementary school and looking for people is her way out. Didn't say that way out.
Hang on, your argument for her being smart is because when she got a D, she didn't.
My argument for her being smart is that she's aware that everyone hates her, and then she's being dumb in going back to those people. It's like she loves it. And if you're going to continue to go to people who hate you, looking for love, you're retarded. I cannot help you. You're a stupid person. What else? I mean, it's always just so stupid. So stupid. But then, I'm a terrible person, so that's it.
Yeah, you probably just hate the girl.
No, not really. Probably be that bully that tried to rape her.
Except you would.
I like rape. You heard it here first. And it's only rape, guys, until she says yes.
TM.
Thank you very much.
So yeah, we're just going to close it off here because it doesn't look like I'm going to get to say anything.
Like, I mean,
No. This movie, I'm...
Did you like the movie first?
No. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it.
Fair enough.
Right? I saw the good parts, but at the same time, I hated watching the movie. Like, it was just... Even though it's 90
that's
minutes,
exactly how I wanted
it to end at 60.
Was it 90 minutes?
Yeah, it was like just under 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And the film was rough to watch. I mean, it wasn't as rough as like a Requiem or a...
But you like that movie. So you're a sick man.
I appreciate Requiem. Oh. And I have it in my collection and I've never watched it.
But because she's a child.
I need a friend to hold my hand as I watch Requiem.
Requiem for a Dream is awesome. However, I would not watch it alone.
I need a friend to hold my hand. So Damien, next week we're going to hold hands.
No, no sir. Let me tell you, no. There will be no holding of
hands. This movie.
I
just...
drive on the left side of the road. You people know this.
You go this side, right?
No, I do not. Mingle with dance hall. They're dirty people. You heard me. You're all dirty people.
But this movie is definitely something that's slightly interesting to me. To see that high school culture that we've seen in so many films, just to see it, played out with this child who think. At first, I thought it was going to be a movie about the girl exploring her sexuality, and then it became just a sad movie about people hating her and how she wants to be noticed, somewhat by someone, recognized by someone.
Just keep to yourself. Leave people alone. What is wrong with you?
But I mean. In the end, the movie turned out mediocre for me.
I've never heard that statement. Someone rap up. Well, in the end,
it was me. I think I'd give this movie a 6 out of 10. I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
Would you recommend? I'd never recommend this movie to anybody.
It depends on the person. No. I would recommend if it was.
I wouldn't
person,
recommend it to anyone.
Not to anybody.
But. It would have to be.
Because there are just better movies like this out there.
Do you like depression shit that doesn't say anything about anything? You like this movie?
But anyways, I think that's a good spot just to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
This is Andrew.
What, no condom
This is
jokes?
Damien. No. No condom jokes. Stop it. I see your brain working. No. No.
But what
this is Douglas. Say it. Say this is Douglas. No. I'm editing that out. I'm going to edit it out. This is Douglas.
But it's the best idea you've that, you know, ever had. No, okay. Well, this is Douglas.
Thank
I
you.
Think.
You can find all episodes on gmanreviews.com. And there is the canned laughter from David. You can subscribe to us via the RSS feed, the iTunes, and Podcast Alley. Give us reviews. We like those, especially when they're bad. I'll read them. If you write us a review, I'll read them.
Right. We like good. You will read.
We like good reviews too, but bad reviews are funny. There you go.
You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/gmanreviews.
Just people talking about movies. No shit.
And you can find all my reviews and writings on gmanreviews.com.
Damon won't let you talk. Anyways, you can follow me at Twitter as well. I am DJ, I lost his name.
You can follow me at Twitter after.
And this was
a podcast.
Good night.